Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
You guys went to see the movie and gave us favorable reviews.
Oh, yeah. Without absolutely.
On Captain America. And that hits theaters today, officially. And this guy, no stranger to the world of superheroes. Of course, he was in Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And he was also in Scott Pilgrim.
He did a great job in Scott Pilgrim, yeah.
I thought that was a great movie. Well, let's get him on the line. Please welcome, as Captain America this run, Chris Evans.
Hello.
Morning, Chris. How you doing, man?
Very well. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Chris, you did a great job with the movie. We loved it. Casey and I got to see a screening of it. And I have to ask you, because you did come from the Fantastic Four franchise, were you a little reticent jumping into another commitment like this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the Marvel fans, the comic book universe has some rabid fans, and my initial concern was that they wouldn't accept me in another role, you know, and if they can't get Johnny Storm out of their head,
right.
That's certainly starting out on the wrong foot.
Well, you know what? I, the second they announced you, I thought perfect, because you needed a guy, you know, you have the physicality for it, but the other thing that you have is you have the comedic chops, and I think when people are able to be comedic in performances... I mean, Steve Rogers is a little bit of a throwback to a classic kind of hero, you know, not campy, but a different kind of guy, and I thought you could nail it.
Sure, absolutely right. Kind of a no-nonsense guy. There's an earnesty there. There's integrity, and I didn't really get to lean on the kind of wise-ass bread and butter that I normally.
Right. But I think that served it well.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Thanks, man.
Was one character more fun than the other to play, Johnny Storm or Captain America?
That's a tough call. Yeah, that's a tough call. I mean, there's no denying that coming to work every day and cracking jokes and being a smartass is fun.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's something kind of special about Steve Rogers. He's a really good man. There really is no flaw in his character traits. So it was nice to play someone that noble.
Do you know what I found impressive is that obviously the CGI effect that rendered you this scrawny pre-enhancement Steve Rogers was amazing, but your performance as that guy, as that pre-enhancement guy, was very compelling. Almost, I don't know, you know, you were never by my reckoning a scrawny dude, but somehow you seemed to convey that very well.
Right. Well, thank you. Let's hear it for computers.
Yeah.
Hey, but I mean, it was more than just the CGI. It was what was coming through. Did you know anybody growing up who was picked on a lot, or because you conveyed that certain beaten down attitude very well?
Sure. Well, I you obviously see that. I mean, that happens. Unfortunately, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Luckily, I never was the victim of it, but you know, when you see it happen, it's heartbreaking.
Right.
A lot of times, that type of action is what shapes who people become in the future. And a lot of times, people can become bitter and jaded, and
sure.
They develop chips on their shoulders. And the thing about Steve is that he never really let it change who he was.
No,
he's still a good man.
You know, I'm just really excited for the movie that you're working on right now, The Avengers, and I thought the Captain America, the first Avenger, this movie was a great final chapter of the single superhero movies leading up to this mammoth project that you guys are working on right now. And I would imagine you have a couple of days off just because of, you know, the press tours that you have to do, and then you guys were at Comic-Con. You know, how close are you guys to finishing up the actual filming? Are you guys already done?
No, we got about a month and a half left. I think a month and a half, and it's going great so far. I think we wrap September 7th. We got about a week left in Albuquerque, then we go to Cleveland, and then New York.
Okay, because I honestly don't have any complaints about the movie itself, but at the end of our screening, usually I thought that there was some sort of teaser or trailer.
We had heard there was a post-credit something, and I got...
Wait a minute. You guys didn't get the...
We didn't.
We didn't get that. The entire theater stayed in their seats waiting.
Oh, no. Well, I guess you're just going to have to go again.
You know what? I'm going to anyway. I needed to watch this first for my son and then just make sure it was okay for him. And it is, actually.
Yeah, I tell you what, man. That post-credit little clip is worth it. It's cool.
All right. Well, I believe you, because they've never disappointed.
There you go.
Hey, Chris, I have to ask, with filming The Avengers and you've got, you know, all these other superheroes, Iron Man and the Hulk and
Thor
and all those that are involved, you can't help but kind of take on the persona of the character you're playing a little bit. Do you look at the other guys and think, yeah, I could kick his ass?
You know? Have you seen Chris Hemsworth?
He's a big dude.
Yeah, I've seen you, man. Now
you're no piker yourself.
Yeah, you put on 15 pounds for this one.
Trust me. Try standing next to that guy. You'll feel like a child.
Well, let me pose it in a different direction. Captain America could kick Iron Man's ass or something along those lines.
I don't even think Captain America could kick Chris Hemsworth, the human being. he's a monster. You got to see the guy. He just towers over me. It's embarrassing.
Okay. Were you, Chris, were you a fan of the comic books before? Were you into this stuff, or did you get into it because of the role?
Kind of because of the role. Never really read comic books growing up. I was doing something much more lowbrow, probably just watching cartoons or something.
Right.
But, you know, obviously having done the part, you end up reading mountains of comic books.
Right.
And it's just amazing that something that used to be just completely the providence of the fringe geeks is now what's fueling the Hollywood summer.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Chris, are you able to, you know, I know that if I were an actor, I would want to have a keepsake from some of the films that I would do. Were you able to grab one of the prop shields and hang on to that?
Yeah, everybody asks that. No, I didn't. And the problem is Marvel is real secretive with that stuff. They wouldn't let me off the lot every day without giving me a frisk down. I mean, they're very on top of their stuff. And the truth is, we had to do reshoots. You know, for most films, you finish the film, and then about 4 months later, you go back for a couple weeks of reshoots. So for the most part, they kept the props till we finished reshoots. Now, if I bug them, they might let me walk away with one of them.
Well, Stan Lee appears in the he always gets a cameo in any of the movies. Have you become friendly with him, or?
Oh, he's fantastic.
He's a good dude.
I don't know if you've ever had a chance to speak with him, but my God, I've never met a man. And I genuinely mean this. I've never met a man so positive, so full of life. He's so friendly. He's always smiling. He really is an impressive person.
And it's just amazing when you think about how much pop culture he is attached to.
Oh, yeah. He's a legend. He's an absolute legend and just the sweetest, most down-to-earth man in the world.
Well, just speaking on Preston had mentioned the Scott Pilgrim stuff. You were hilarious in it, and yep. I do think you do comedy very well in those kind of characters. Do you have anything of that ilk coming out soon?
I did a little romantic comedy with Anna Faris that will come out in September.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty funny, actually. And then, you know, after the Avengers, there's kind of an open road in front of me, and if we end up doing some sequels for Captain America and the Avengers, it would be nice to kind of squeeze the other end of the spectrum in, which would be some sort of a comedy.
Yeah, right. Very cool.
Excellent. All right, well, Chris, looks like a great film. Everybody here that saw it loved it, so best of luck to you, okay?
Thanks so much, guys.
You got it. Chris Evans?
Yeah!
Captain America!
And by the way, right below... right in the same realm of Iron Man.
I love
Captain America.
All right, then I may try and get out and see that this weekend.
The comic book character for me, they're very different movies.
Yeah.
This is like right out of the 40s,
okay.
like a classic. You know, they call it a propaganda film, but
right.
That sort of rah rah thing,
like the Rocketeer type of feel.
Absolutely,
to it?
Same director,
okay.
Joe Johnston.
Yeah,
and
that.
It has
right.
that same. Really good feel to it.
And okay. We have a picture here in the studio of Nick in the mask. I wore
no, that's
that.
A still from the movie.
Yeah, no, I actually wore that mask to the movie the other night.
You did?
Yeah.
You
know, my son is into all the superhero stuff.
This is just before they enhance him.
Yeah.
They sent over some of the kids' costume stuff for Captain America. Nick, whatever made you choose that pose? I love that.
That's what Captain America does, Preston.
He does. He points off into the distance.
Yeah. It's the classic look at that bird pose.
Yes. You remember.
Yeah.
From all the comics growing up.
The other Avengers.
I think it's really cool, Casey, that your son is so into the Avengers and Captain America. My son is not quite a comic book fan yet, but he's into Spider-Man and stuff like that. And you said briefly in that interview that you think this movie is cool for kids.
It is. I mean, I really enjoyed Thor, but there was too much story involved with Thor. Like, you know, I let him watch the Hulk, but I literally had to fast forward through all the other scenes that he wasn't the Hulk. And, as soon as he turned into the Hulk, I could, you know, let him smash some things.
This clips along.
Yeah.
In fact, they do, if anything, as a big fan of Captain America, they had to do some shorthand. They get in all the major elements of the Captain America mythos,
mm-hmm.
but it would have been like, to have a few things just, give you a little bit of time to take it in.
I got to get up to speed on some of the other Avengers stuff. I didn't see Thor. I didn't see Hulk. I got to
Did you see the first Hulk?
No.
Okay.
Yes. Everybody panned it so bad that I didn't. That you kind of have to watch see it.
You do. It's not as good as the Ed Norton one. Really? The Ed Norton one is more along the lines of the comic book, and there's more stuff going on in there. Watch the Ed Norton one. However, Ed Norton's not playing the Hulk.
No,
in the Avengers.
Mark Ruffalo is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Mark Ruffalo is right. That's right. Kathy brought me up to speed on all
she's
that.
All, she's so on.
My mic was off for a little bit.
Well, because you were typing and I could hear it.
Yeah.
Yes, you were.
No, it was a coffee cup.
Well, your mouth was going like this.
And I could hear. I am the most beautiful girl in the world.
Oh, she was talking to herself. I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
I smell good too.
Maybe when you read, you actually mouth.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I was looking right at, and I heard like this little clicking.
That could have been Nick.
Like that, and then I saw, and I looked at you, and your mouth is sitting there going,
"Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you."
You do move your lips when you read.
Really?
Oh, that's so adorable.
You know what? When I used to do, real quick story, I did Monday Night Live, there were people that could ask a question to the panel, and they would forget the question or they would have a hard time with it because sometimes we would give it to them if they couldn't come up with something themselves.
Sure.
And there's several, videos of me mouthing the question while the guest is trying to answer it or while the guest is trying to ask it. And I'm like, ask about Donovan McNabb. Like, you can see me mouthing it. It's the terrible.
The worst, though, is when you're talking to someone and as you are speaking, like you're doing right now.
I know, because I know what you're
going to
say.
They start to move their lips in sync with what you're trying. I guess you're trying to...
Terrible.
Complete the thought.
I am like, hey, would you please stop doing that? It's at that point you want to turn into like the Jim Carrey movie, Bruce Almighty, when you're talking. Skip the follow along. But you do that. I thought maybe you were typing. That's why I turned your mic down. All right. I saw this,
the word.
A survey, and this was according to an Opinion Research Corporation poll that was done. The number one don't. When it comes to summer work attire, we're having, is it casual day today?
It is.
Which we had a little discussion about that. What do we do on casual day?
Get naked because for the past two months, at a certain point, Kathy likes it warmer in here. And I need it cold because I've been wearing shorts. You've been wearing pretty much every day now.
Yep.
It's just the way to do it.
Yeah,
so
I do.
We really casual day is every day for us, and so we pay for that by coming in at 4:30.
Well, Isaac, we should just roll out of bed in whatever we wore to bed.
Right.
Just come into work in that.
Or because, do the opposite and wear a tuxedo.
Want me to wear my pajamas? My underwear.
Yeah. Just come in your underwear. It's casual.
Wear my skivvies. No, I don't wear pajamas.
You don't go commando?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But not come like all that.
Time. What's that?
Come like that.
Yeah. I know you've been wanting to for years to see it, Kathy.
Hate getting a Kathy.
But
you put it in your mouth and under your chin and your hand.
So is the number one don't white jeans by any chance?
No, the number one don't. Yeah, Bill Weston wore white jeans. That's why he's wearing white jeans today.
Oh,
it's
disco day.
It's disco day.
Oh, we have to have that.
What would you think? What would you guys say? What is the
number one don't?
Summer work
for
attire.
For summer work attire, the number one don't. Sleeveless shirts?
No.
Open-toed shoes?
Flip-flops. Flip-flops, yes, that's it.
Yeah,
I guess that depends on where you work, right?
I met a guy last night. I was at the New Deck Tavern, and he was like, you wear flip-flops every day, right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, you're so lucky because nobody in any other work environment is allowed to do
surf
that.
Surf shop. Right.
Well, I mean, any
very
other.
Very few.
Yeah, like a business environment.
Yeah, or even one where you've got to do some heavy lifting or moving or something like that. I mean,
you got to have steel-toed flip-flops.
Lose your toes.
I've heard,
wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Steel-toed flip-flops.
Women get reprimanded for it, and I think this list is sort of pointing towards them. If women will wear a normal business attire outfit, but then wear flip-flops to work or sandals like that, they will be looked down upon. They're supposed to wear business shoes.
This is from Reuters.
Basically, Preston, we're talking on not simply a safety level, but a fashion faux pas and something that makes you appear less professional. Correct?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Right.
Unless you work at a surf shop.
There were
that's the other example.
With the surf shop.
I'd like to add something. A surf shop.
Mini skirts came in second. And strapless tops, a third.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is for women.
I feel so good, though, in a strapless top.
Yeah,
you can't wear strapless. You can't wear to work. I would say that's a no-no.
If you don't, though, it's... What if you wear a tasteful little jacket over it?
Yeah, because then maybe you wouldn't be able to tell that it's strapless. But
and what
no,
if you wear a cone-shaped bra with that?
Because you're constantly pulling it up, and it's going to fall. You know what I mean? It's falling down. You're not comfortable. I don't think that's
Kathy,
appropriate in any work.
What if you have the IT guy come in and pull it up?
Hang on,
he watches me on the video.
Let me go to Ed. Hey, Ed, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Not much. I saw you, George, for business casual. So wouldn't like khaki shorts be like a Friday kind of vacation?
That's right. You wear the jorts. Now you wear jorts.
Sure.
I mean, jorts are very manly.
I used to wear jorts.
I've been wearing them since I was a kid.
Yeah.
George sucks.
Way to just get down to the brass tacks.
Thanks, Ed. They don't bother me.
You know what I find with George, though? They sweat, you sweat, you sweat your balls off at him.
Yeah.
Go to line two, because that's every math teacher I ever had.
Let me see here. Nikki, how you doing, Nikki?
Good, how are you guys? You guys rock.
Yeah! Thank you.
Yeah!
What's up, Nikki?
Okay, so the worst is when a guy wears a short sleeve button down shirt with a tie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Nikki, this is
short sleeve button down shirt.
Mr. Kryshak in fifth grade wore the shirt, and this guy.
That name alone sounds
Mr.
like the guy.
Mr. Kryshak. He looked like Drew Carey with the big glasses and the buzz cut.
Right.
And he never used deodorant. He did, but it just couldn't stand up to it. And he stunk like death. But that was every day. Button down, short sleeve shirt with a tie.
Yeah, I can't, even without a tie, I don't like button down, short sleeve shirts. I just don't like them. Unless it's like, maybe if it's Hawaiian shirt day and you can wear your Hawaiian shirt if you want, you know, that's okay. But hang on, Marissa wanted to contribute. Yes?
I have somebody very close to me.
Your brother.
Yes, that wears them all the time.
What? The
short sleeve shirts.
Really? With a tie?
No, he doesn't wear with a tie, but they're just not attractive.
With a bolo?
I don't know. Like, I have a couple of...
They're like old man.
Yes, they're very old man. They're just not... if you're wearing it under a suit and you just want to have a little less clothing, but not if you're just wearing a button-down.
You can't even do that.
It's just
stop it.
You know what? You're not committing to it fully if you're just wearing a short-sleeve button-down shirt.
You just brought up something that I've always had a question about. Okay, so the short-sleeve button-down shirt.
Yeah.
With the collar, the whole deal. A white one, which you can see through clearly.
Yeah.
The wife beater underneath that, the undershirt. Yeah.
Looks ridiculous.
You can see that clearly.
Yes.
But that's better.
Yeah, I know,
really?
Why is that okay?
You don't want
I don't think that's okay. But
no, you wear a regular white tee under that.
You would have to
wear a regular white tee because you have those stupid lines and it just looks bad.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
That's definitely old man attire.
Can we go back to the short sleeve button down shirt just in general? Because I do have a short sleeve button down shirt. It's Red Sand is the designer.
Yeah.
I like it. It's yellow, like kind of plaid. Is that the
same thing, Case?
Yeah,
throw that out.
Well, you've seen me wear it. I wore it not too long ago. Is that a no-no?
No good.
I don't know. I don't like them.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing you wear that, Case.
Oh man, I got to go find a picture. I probably wore it to one of our events this spring. Or summer.
See, I just wore a white one last week, so that's the first time I put a short sleeve white.
Short sleeve button down.
Can you stop banging your cup, by the way?
Oh.
Let me go to Derek.
John felt a little wiggle room, says he's joining a little bit more, and then he apps it up with the cup.
Yeah. Way to go.
Derek. Yeah. Good morning, Derek. You're on.
Couple.
What's up? First of all, you guys rock.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good room.
And I'd say knee-high socks are a no in summer.
Knee-high socks?
Yes.
Man.
Especially black ones.
But that used to wear those socks up. Remember like in the 70s?
As a kid, yes.
Yeah, you'd wear them up really high.
It was the style.
And you look like an imbecile.
Yeah.
It's like those shorts, short shorts that guys would wear.
Yes.
We were talking about this.
Yep. Let me go to Jamie. Hi, Jamie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, what's up, Jamie?
I'm actually at work right now, and I'm wearing flip-flops.
Oh, really? Now, where do you work?
I don't really want to say. I work at a college, but it's a for-profit school.
Okay.
And, everybody's giving me crap today. I put little bows on them. I thought that I'd dress them up.
I think on an incredibly hot day, you're allowed to wear flip-flops.
I agree. I'm also wearing shorts, too, but nobody's very happy with me.
Are you wearing underwear?
Yeah, what color panties
are you? No, I'm not.
Okay.
Wait, one second. What's that? I'm sorry, couldn't hear that?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jamie, you sound pretty sexy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jamie, could you put paper clips on your nipples?
I would be very happy to.
I'm dying to see you. You need to send us a picture
of your boobs.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Okay, thank you.
I like her.
Yeah, me too.
Very sexy voice. Let me
I don't know. I mean, I understand why the flip-flops are a little bit inappropriate, but I don't think that they're that big. Like, it's not like a short skirt.
Here's what I think is that I think, like, if you're at a restaurant or something where there's a hygiene element, that right. might be an issue. But if you're walking around right. an office and you're relatively clean,
yeah.
I don't think. But I mean, you know, well, like today, I've lost the thrill, or I never even generated the thrill of dress down day because in my entire professional career,
yeah.
I never had a dress code.
Yeah. Kathy, with the shoe thing, I mean, there are women, you know, that wear high heels that will. Do they wear open toes sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
What's the difference between that and flip flops? I guess they're not as. They don't look as formal.
Yeah, they're not. They're too casual.
I think open toes in general are like frowned upon, even if they're high heels or whatever. I think it's just like people are weirded out by feet, and maybe they just don't want to see exposed toes. I don't know.
People in the business world wear. Yeah. I mean, our sales staff wears open toes.
They're a
heels.
Bunch of sluts.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Proclamation.
I like that look.
Anytime it hits triple digits, you can wear open toes.
I would agree.
Why don't
not?
You think? I mean, it's kind of understood.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a little bit of latitude.
All right, hang on. Let me go to Karen. We got to wrap this up in just a second. Hey, Karen, how you doing?
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Karen?
Oh, not too much. I'm an attorney. I'm not practicing now, but the law firm I used to work in, you obviously need to look very professional.
Mm-hmm.
You have clients coming in and out. And we had one paralegal. Everyone else adhered to the dress code. We had one paralegal who... pretty much dressed like a prostitute.
Really? Now owns the company.
Mini skirts, crop tops, various piercings that were visible.
Karen, I can understand how that is a detriment at a legal firm, though I think for many of the workers, it's probably the highlight of their day.
Yeah.
Well, no, she was pretty skanky.
Oh, okay.
Did you ask the guys about that?
But the big joke was if any time she was in the car with anyone was whether you could see her head or not.
Get it?
Nice.
Yeah, well, that's how you get ahead in business.
A friend of mine works in HR and had to tell the slut in the office that she had to stop dressing the way she was when she came to work.
Really?
Yeah.
Slutty McSlut and whore, would you come into my office, please? Best slutty McSlut and whore.
You're the horriest whore of
you're,
all the whores.
The horriest whore.
Oh,
there was, we've known, and when we were at Y100, you know, there were a few people who would dress wildly inappropriately. Some of the sure. girls, yeah.
Yep, it happens.
And
but they're
true.
Saying that the flip-flops are the one, this is according to Reuters, that was a source, there was a research study that was done.
What's number two you said?
It was miniskirts.
Miniskirts.
And then
especially on women.
Strapless tops.
Yeah.
I agree.
Considered a no-no. So, but even though it's this hot, I think you'll be allowed a little latitude.
Miniskirts and flip-flops for
like
everyone.
John said, triple digits. You should be able to go at it. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. So stay right there.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Once again, it's Nick and Sarah in for Preston and Steve. How are you doing, Sarah?
Doing great. Feeling good. We're almost at the weekend.
We are. Isn't that amazing? We're more than halfway through the week. It's Thursday, July 9th, and it is muggy out there today. Did you feel it when you walked out the window? Walked out the window? Walked out the door?
That's how I
exit
my home.
Did you walk out the window? God, I'm off to a flying start.
I love it. No, you know what? It was still dark when I arrived at the studio, so I wasn't really feeling it yet, but... can you breathe out there?
You can't. It's muggy. Okay. It's gross. It's hot and humid with times of clouds and sun today, but it's muggy and you feel it as soon as you walk out the window or the door, whichever way you leave your house at 6 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, but we're here to get you through. We're here to get you to work and hopefully get you where you're going on the roads. The NJM Auto Insurance Group traffic. Sarah, what's going on?
Not too much just yet. 95 South is slow from Cottman Avenue to Bridge Street. Route 1 is slow northbound from PA 413 to PA 213. And in New Jersey, 295 North at Sloan Avenue, the off-ramp is closed there because of a disabled vehicle. This traffic report is brought to you by BP. BP and Amoco are supporting local first responders, doctors, nurses, and hospital staff. Learn more at bp.com/thankyouheroes. And that is your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Maybe it's a good thing that I will not be going home until tonight.
March.
Well, I got a full day today. I've got to, you know, after we do the show, then we got a couple meetings, and then I've got voiceover booking that I have to go to, and then after that, we're going to be at the Franklin Institute. Now, I'm not going to get home. I'm going to get home, then I'm going to have a half hour with my kids, and I got to go to bed. It's going to be a long...
Do you really need to spend time with your kids? Or
yeah,
long
ass, no, I have to spend time with my kids, but it's a good thing that I will not be there because I'm kind of in the doghouse with the wife.
Hey, I just left.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, I just climbed right back in.
Nice.
And I don't know if I'll enjoy
it. Why?
Well.
Did you force sex on her again?
No, but
did
I did.
Did you tie her down?
I did. I flicked her nipple, and she didn't like that.
No. You did the nipple flick.
Yeah, I did the nipple flick.
Why would you do that?
Because they were hanging there. I mean, you know, I mean, it was...
Wait, did she have a shirt on?
No, she was...
Getting changed?
It was at a wake.
Yeah. No, she was getting changed, and they were hanging there. And I was nearby. But the thing was, is I just, you know, when I flicked it, I did, like, the middle finger.
You're an idiot.
No, that's a painful flick.
Yeah.
Flick thing, and I just caught the tip of it, and just boom.
You probably knew mid-flick that you shouldn't have been doing that.
It stung, so.
You knew before that you shouldn't be doing that. Let me explain something to you guys.
What?
That is the most annoying thing in the world.
It's funny.
I don't get like that, you know, where it would be painful, but every single morning, I get a boob flick.
Your boob flick, the gesture you just did indicated that what is done by this nameless man who lives with you is that he cups his hand under your breast and then flips it up.
Yeah, Steve.
That's a full flick, though.
Because I put lotion on every morning before I get dressed.
Really?
During my lotion session,
you start with the left breast or the right breast?
I put lotion on my breasts. They need to be moisturized as well.
Is that a service that you farm out occasionally?
No, but every morning during my lotion session, I get, you know, he'll walk in the room because he gets up with me. He goes to the gym, so we actually leave the house at the same time. And just a little.
Every morning.
I want to turn around and punch him in the face.
Punch him in the sack. That's how you
like it. That's what I want to do.
But obviously you're availing the goods.
No, I'm hydrating my boobs.
Oh, God.
Isolate that, please. Isolate that.
But the maneuver he's doing on you is I liken that to the produce section because it's like picking up something going, it's about a pound and a half.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really invasive.
Do you have a meat scale in the room?
Well, no, but he knows that I hate it, so it's like a real quick, like it's a, you know, because I will try to block him.
You know what? Hit him in the nuts with a ball peen hammer.
You can try. Well, I was going to say, I feel like you have no room to talk because I'm not even married to you.
I know, Casey,
but I also know that maybe I should never bend in front of you. I'm not even married to you, and you will stick something in my butt. So I can only imagine what it would be like to actually be married to you. How many times a day do you shove something?
Do you do a hook and ladder on your...
She does it to me, and she doesn't even...
I don't use my fingers with you. I'll use like a pen or something I have in my hand. But I'll use... No. In my house, you can't walk up the stairs with somebody behind you because you are going to get a little, you know, shove in the... Yeah, a little probe.
There's not a lot of room between my chair and the wall, and Kathy
oral
sits to my right.
Anal sex.
And when she goes by me, if I'm sticking out even just a little bit to get by me, she doesn't tap me on the shoulder and say, excuse me. She shoves two fingers underneath my armpits and tickles me every single time.
Well, that's nothing. That's playful schoolyard antics.
No.
When you're performing a rectal search on someone, that's an entirely different animal.
I take the rectal search.
Does he do that in retaliation? Yeah. Because I know a lot of dudes will do the... You talked about Preston when you're just at the when you're just standing at the counter in the kitchen.
Yes,
speed bagging your wife's.
Yep.
And your wife is buxom.
Yeah, 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 definitely. I mean, that's
that's like, sometimes they're bouncing around, and
you stand on her feet and you speed bag them. Right,
so fun, and they're playful.
Yeah. Motor both those boys,
you know.
There should be like an addendum to the vows that you have taken, because it's not said. It's sort of unspoken that I will love you, honor you, cherish you. Always stick my finger in your butt crack if you happens to peek out when you're bending over or if you're cleaning the floor.
Will you do? You will do exposed butt crack?
No.
You will do through the pants.
Yeah. But right. Anytime
you're not going to go Dutch boy on him.
No. I wouldn't do that. And it's not. I'm not really like penetrating. I'm just giving a little.
I've been there.
Just give it a little poke.
I do that.
Yeah,
I
mean, you can't bend over in my ass. Like, you can't, because anytime there is clear view.
I can't. The boob flick is much more valid in my eyes than the jamming your fingers in someone's crack. And Casey has you have no problem in that arena, though.
What?
Because during when we shot the hot sauce up Joe's ass, Casey takes, because we had heard that dairy helps diminish the pain of burning hot sauce. So Casey figures, well, cheese is dairy. Taking slices of cheese and smacking them up
cramming
Joe's
them
ass.
Up in there, yeah. Oh, my God.
And did it help?
No.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, I know we had probably talked about this years ago, but and I want to thank the caller who had mentioned this, because I will occasionally do this, and to me, it's one of the funniest things on the planet.
Teabagging a senior citizen.
All right, it's the second funniest thing.
What are you doing?
While driving, and your wife is sitting in the passenger seat, if you reach over with your right hand and squeeze her boob, you squeeze it twice, and at the same time honk the horn. Bam, bam. Oh, it is one of the most entertaining things.
I will go
things.
You one further, Preston. I think it should. When you talk about those marriage vows, not only should you exchange the rings, but you should exchange one of those curled clown horns that you can wear on exactly for that purpose.
I have it at all times.
Kathy, I think that you're fair game, though, especially when you're lotioning your breasts. And then, like,
could you not take that into the bathroom and do it?
But I mean, it's bedroom.
You're right next to any guy lubing up those puppies.
Yeah.
I think.
Look, I'm not sitting there rubbing. I mean, rubbing.
Preston. Oh, they're so smooth.
I lotion my.
Look, Dennis. Look, they're glistening.
On behalf of the heterosexual male and lesbian females all across the Delaware Valley, thank you for bringing this up, because we would have never known that you lotion your boobs every morning.
That's right, Kathy.
And it's not just my boobs. It doesn't matter. Body.
That alone has made this conversation.
The man in the boat gets a nice treatment too.
Worth it.
Give him a little back massage if you know what I'm saying. A little shiatsu.
What music is playing? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She sings the Alexa Ray.
Oh, my God. The Alexa Ray.
What?
Billy Joel's song about the clam fisherman.
I know what it is.
Oh, my God. Let me go to Melissa. Hi, Melissa. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, Melissa?
Nothing. Kathy, I'm very ashamed of
you. Why?
Because my boyfriend, every time I'm walking up the steps, decides he's going to stick his finger up my butt.
I know. It's just funny to see how far he'll, like, jump up the stairs, how many steps he can go.
I have to either let him go before run up the stairs, because it's the most annoying thing.
People
will run up. I'm not that fascinated with that particular
it's
input.
So funny, though, Steve.
But I love seeing when some guy does the hook and ladder to another guy, because it is.
Oh, yeah.
Such an invasive, out of the blue. I mean, let's put it this way: Bam did it to Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah,
right there at
our studio
at the station one time. Here's a guy who's done absolutely every foul thing in the world, and he was like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, back in the band days, that was constantly going on. It was just so damn funny, because everybody always had the exact same facial expression. This is just for those in the studio, but it was like this.
it was every time. Your lips purse up and your eyes get big and you're like...
Anytime it happens to me in the studio or in the office here, I know it's Kathy. And, like, I mean, how whack is that? That if there's something being... I mean, at the Camp Out for Hunger, I was underneath the table, like, plugging something in. And next thing I know, there is a Sharpie hanging out of the top of my butt crack. And I was like, oh, Kath, come on.
But it was just, I mean, you just... Open yourself up.
Well, if you're leaving, you know, that exposed, I think that's okay.
Let me go to John. Hey, John, good morning. Johnny John! There. John! We lost John. He was our first caller. He was up for a while, but apparently his girlfriend taps him in the boys pretty regularly.
Oh, here's the difference.
And so, therefore, he will do the boob flick right back.
Boob flick will not cause pain. A ball tap, even of a very light conservative motion mm-hmm. can still cause pain.
Yeah, I won't do that. That's kind of, that's off limits. You can't do that, but.
Run a wood planer across his taint.
Yeah. Let me go to Kelly next. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
You guys rock.
Thank you. What's going on, Kel?
So I've been with my husband for 15 years. We're high school sweethearts. And every day, Kathy, I get groped. And if I don't get groped, I have to ask him, what's wrong today?
Why are you mad at me?
Why are you mad at me? What did I do? You haven't touched me today.
It's become part of the morning ritual.
I don't
ritual.
Feel like molesting you today.
Yeah, it is. But it is. It's a morning ritual.
Would you just, miss it?
And I see him coming in the mirror. I can see him coming. And I'm like, oh, God.
Really?
Like, do I try to block or just let him do it?
Try to block. Try it. Well, all right. So let me just get the layout of the room here. You're on one side of the bed. He's on the other side, correct?
He goes into the bathroom. I'm on my side of the bed, which is closest to the door.
Right, so you pull out your lube, your breast lubing ointment.
It's lotion from Bath and Body.
Okay. Knocker cream. And you're going to town and you're lubing up. And then he comes around to the side of the bed while you're there and just flicks.
And flicks. Gives me a flick, yeah.
Okay. Is that in lieu of a kiss goodbye?
No. Then we kiss when we leave. Okay. But, yeah.
Is there any sound effect made while doing that? Or like, you know,
No, it's just that he just tries to get in there to get the flick.
Hang on. I'm going to go to Joel. Hey, Joel. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys, you guys rock.
Thank you. What's going on, Joel?
Hey, me and my buddies back in college, instead of just going for the butt with the hook whenever you're walking near someone, specifically we used to go for the taint.
Really? Oh, yeah. That is a tough maneuver. Were you able to pull it off a lot?
Yeah, sometimes. And then when the other person would complain, the trick was to claim like they've been asking for it. Say stuff like, oh, but I thought that's what you wanted.
your body language was suggesting you wanted that.
I love that.
Exactly. It's, oh, it's
that's great.
Then you just become a helpful friend.
Oh, my God.
Casey, next time I stick a Sharpie in your butt, I'll say that. Oh, that's what you wanted.
You know what, though? Like, and I think the last time you did it to me, I was like, I would probably be fired if I did that to you. Like,
you did say that.
Yeah.
But I did it to you like twice. Dude, it's not like I stick things in your butt.
I saw your butt crack last week. You were leaning forward in the conference room, and I was like, oh, man, I should. And then instead of putting something in there, I just told you that I saw it.
That's the repressive society in which we live. I know. You just, at the workplace, you're almost dissuaded from sticking staplers in people's asses.
Yeah.
Let me go to Jim. Almost. Hey, Jim, how you doing, man?
Hey, morning, guys. First, let me say, Kathy, thank you for the visual.
Yeah. All right.
Casey, there's a little payback. It's called a credit card swipe. You point, you flat your four fingers, and when she bends over, you slide your four fingers all the way through the crack.
There
and
you
say,
go.
Credit denied.
Credit denied.
I'll do that. I think that's a great idea. Use a real credit card, and then when the person turns around, you cut it up. Like,
sorry. That's right. I love that, Jim. I'm going to give you a case of Guinness for that, all right?
All right, thank you.
I love the credit card swipe. That's a great idea.
The official beer of St. Patrick's Day, by the way. Let me go to Christina. Hi there, Christina. Good morning.
You guys rock.
Thank you. What's going on, Christina?
Every morning, my boyfriend tends to hold my boobs as I, like, brush my teeth or as I'm, like, doing my hair or something.
Do your boobs occasionally get in your mouth while you're brushing your teeth?
Yeah, he holds them up. He thinks that I can't hold them up. They're too heavy.
You know what? I've done that. Here, let me get this for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me hold this for you. Yeah,
they were uneven. Let me. It's like in Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. Steve Martin always does that. When you fell, your breasts fell out of whack.
I wonder if that's something.
Casey, I love that you could use it in an instance where she's got like stuff in her hands and you walk up and just go, "Hey, let me get those for you." Do you just reach over? That I'm in trouble now, but I may use that later today because that's too priceless.
Make her bring something in the house.
Let me go to Mike on the phone. Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
Gadzooks.
What's up, Mike?
Nothing. I go to a bar in Northeast Philly, and there's a waitress there, and there's probably about 15, 20 regulars, and we shoot pool. And the one waitress there, she calls it a cheese curl, where she grabs two fingers and grabs you underneath the sack area, and kind of like the credit card thing up your crack.
She does curled fingers under your sack.
From behind.
From behind. That's almost like a hook and ladder.
Yeah. Hey, Mike?
Yes.
What bar is that?
Sodomies?
Yeah, go ahead.
Copa Banana Northeast.
Right.
Yeah.
Stop in for the free cheese curl. Yeah.
And rectal exam.
I love it.
Really?
What's her name?
Stacy.
All right, stop in and see Stacy at lunch.
I'm guessing Stacy's not like a 20-year-old college co-ed. Is more like a... Is she a slightly older woman? We're losing.
I'm sorry?
How old is she?
I would guess about 25.
Oh, because I thought I'm just going to play with you, boy, sweetie. I'm going to give you some cheese curls. This is called the bugle.
Hang on, let me go to Christy. Hi there, Christy. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys rock. Yeah!
Thank you, Christy. What's going on?
I just wanted, by the way, I am a black listener.
All right,
coming in April for Ted Tuesday. So
hey, nice.
April.
We love that.
And I just wanted to say thank you for Cassie. I hydrate my boobs every morning.
Yeah.
And thanks to her, I will be getting a boob flick every morning. Thank you.
We're going to spread the tradition.
I never realized the boobs were in that much danger of drying out.
Well, I don't know. I put lotion on every other part of my body, so I might as well do
that. Yeah, really?
What other parts are those?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. My legs, my arms.
The man in the boat?
No, I know. My wife is the boob.
Don't forget me down here, Lassie, while you're taking care of Pike's Peaks.
No, that doesn't need to be hydrated.
No, my wife does it. I think most women probably do that.
Lube the boobs?
Lube the boobs, yeah.
Lube.
I don't know. Marissa, do you lube your boobs? No, she doesn't.
She doesn't have boobs.
She doesn't have boobs. That's what she said. Yeah.
She's got boobs, and she knows how to use them.
I'm going to go to Margo. Hey, Margo, good morning.
Hello.
What's going on, Margo?
Hello.
My husband has been pulling my boobs, poking me in the butt for the last 7 years, and I've been telling him to stop it. I never knew I had a wifely duty.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Now, do you ever try to exact any kind of revenge on him?
Absolutely.
Okay, and what do you do?
Burn the bed.
Start poking him in the butt or grabbing the boys. It's like, how do you like it?
Grab it. Now, have you ever made a play for Bubba's Nutsack there?
No, I think that's off limits because that hurts. I don't want to hurt him. It's all fun and games when I'm
No flicks, no slaps. Maybe like a tender caress or something like that.
Maybe do the TIE fighter.
Ball trick.
Three card Monty.
Yeah. The TIE fighter. I forgot about that. Didn't you make that one? No, you made up X-Wing Fighter.
X-Wing
right?
Fighter and the three ball trick, yeah.
That's right. All right, let me go next to...
All right, which one is it under?
Let me go to Jamie. Hi, Jamie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Jamie?
My fiance Dan, who is probably listening to the radio right now, every morning when we take a shower, he does the boob flap thing. I'll be leaning back, washing my hair, eyes closed, and I'll take his hands and just flap my boobs up and down.
Do you guys shower together every morning?
I try to. Try to.
My wife would not want to get up 4 hours early. Hey, you want to take a shower? Yeah. She'd be in the corner drowning with her mouth open like a turkey.
Like a turkey.
Oh, my God.
You want to get up 4 hours earlier and shower with me?
Apparently my little boob flick doesn't sound as bad as some. I don't do it every time, but you get that every day, Kathy.
Every morning.
And it doesn't get old to him? He doesn't change it up?
Does he laugh when he does it?
Oh, he has hysterical laughing every time he does it.
Hey, can we do it?
No!
Oh, damn it. You know what else is really annoying?
I did one time.
Did you flick her back?
I grabbed her boob.
Right after you're doing a picture.
You did it to Marissa, too. We were getting pictures taken a couple weeks ago, and you just reached over and
Well, here's the deal. We were all getting together, taking a group picture and with some listeners, and I guess my hand brushed up against Kathy's breast.
Yeah, you went to put your hand around the listener's shoulder, and you kind of just swiped me.
Yeah, and Kathy goes, "You just touched my boob," and so I just went and did a full grab.
You're like, sorry about that.
Yeah,
my bad. Well, that's what you get for sticking your fingers up my butt, Kathy.
It wasn't my fingers. It's a Sharpie.
You know what else is annoying?
Up my butt.
That I will do is when your wife wears like a full bottom panties, you know, like a thong or whatever. Right. If you walk up behind them and then grab both sides of the butt cracks and then
you do a wedgie.
Yeah,
like a mini wedgie.
Yeah, and you know what?
What?
I forgot about that. My brother, man,
is a woman.
Yeah. Wow. Can you believe that? No. He will, you know, I will stick my finger in the top of a butt crack, but he will give his wife full-on wedgies every time he sees the back.
I don't think women respond as favorably to a wedgie.
No.
That's like giving an Indian rope burn, you know. It's...
Hey, what's a rat tail? I see Brian here who says he gave his wife a rat tail. You ever heard of that?
No, let's find out.
That's a haircut, but I've never, let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys, you rock.
Hey, what's going on?
I just wanted to give a call. My wife, she puts up with everything. I mean, you know, twists on her boobs, whatever. I put pens in her plumber's crack. She never complains about anything.
What's a rat tail?
We were doing the dishes, and I gave her a rat tail. That's when you basically have the towel you're drying the dishes with, and you, like, kind of wind it up and you flick it.
Okay,
and
all right.
It was a direct shot. I mean, it sounded like a firecracker went off. It hit her right in the butt.
Yeah.
She kicks me, turns around and kicks me right in the ball.
Well, all right, you deserved that, Brian.
That was crazy. You said I got to do something else because I'm just, you know, hearing Kathy saying about what she was doing with the lotion. What? I got to drive here, guys.
There you go. This morning you got a stick shift.
Well, yeah.
It's automatic, thank God, but it is raining.
Yeah. All right, Brian, thanks, man. No, that's, that deserved a kick in the balls. That can hurt like a son of a bitch. That can sting. So anyway, I guess I gotta do a little apology, or maybe I have to allow her to do the card swipe to me. I don't know the credit card. We'll have to see, but not happy at the household because of that. But at least she doesn't get it every morning like you do.
Yeah,
Kat,
I know.
All right. Anyway, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Wake up with Preston and Steve. Spend your workday with Pierre and Jackson. Your evenings with Jackie and Brent. And weekends annoying the neighbors by cranking us up to 11. But why stop there?
Anybody know what she's talking about?
Get your hands on some awesome merch at MMR's Rock Shop now. Clothes, hats, mugs, clocks, puzzles, baby and kids stuff, even a Pierre bobblehead, and more. They make great gifts, too. So get shopping at WMMR.com now. All the merch that rocks.
Betterman, 93.3 WMMR, Everything That Rocks, Pearl Jam with Betterman, a song that Eddie Vedder wrote before he was in the band Pearl Jam. He was with a band called Bad Radio. And speaking of bad radio, it's Nick here with Sarah. Sarah's good. Nick
what
is
bad. What a segue. You're good at this.
Thank you.
This is good radio.
It's WMMR, and it is 6:37 in the morning on Thursday, July 9th. It's Nick and Sarah in for Preston and Steve. We're doing the best of Preston and Steve this week. The guys will be back on Monday morning, along with Casey and Kathy and myself and Marissa, of course. But we're getting through the day with some of the best of segments over the last decade or so. And we're going to do an interview in a moment or two with our buddy Ryan Dunn, the late, great Ryan Dunn. We miss him to this day. And it'll be interesting for you guys to hear this because Ryan was a really interesting, introspective kind of a guy. So I'm looking forward to hearing it again as well. But before we get to that, we do have to take another look at the traffic with Sarah. Oh, and I want to mention, speaking of Pearl Jam, this Saturday night on MMR, 7 p.m., up on PrestonandSteve.com and WMMR.com, the interview that Pierre and Matt Cord and I did with Eddie Vedder back in 2013.
Legendary.
Which
later led to Nick.
How about that?
And Matt and Pierre.
Same night, and a night that I was with Will Forte, of all people, was my date that evening. But that's another story for another time. But this Saturday night, we're going to be featuring live Pearl Jam, live from the Spectrum back in 2009. And that information's on WMMR.com as well, right, Sarah?
Sure is, right on the front page.
Awesome. All right, well, looking forward to that on Saturday. But right now, let's get you where you need to go with the NJM Insurance Group traffic. Sarah, what's going on?
95 South, slow between Cottman Avenue and Bridge Street. In New Jersey, Route 55 North is slow, Deptford to the 42 freeway, and the Burlington-Bristol Bridge is closed. It's actually opening right now for a southbound ship, so that is stopped for the time being. This traffic report is brought to you by Ford. Your local Ford store is open and ready for business. They're going to help you get moving again with low financing on a 2020 Ford Escape. Go to buyfordnow.com or visit your local Ford store. And that is your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
We were really excited about our next guest because we saw that he was getting his own show. We love this guy. We've known him for years and years. And
it's about friggin' time.
I would absolutely agree with that. And he has got a show coming up on G4 Network. It's called Proving Ground. Please welcome Ryan Dunn. Yeah.
Thank you.
What's up, Ryan?
You should really look into Afternoon Drive.
You know, I know.
This is ridiculous.
Ryan was sleeping in his car.
I literally was. I'm looking out there right now, and I'm still jealous of where I was 20 minutes ago. Like, oh, it looks comfy down there.
No, but like I told you when you came in, man, we're excited for you. This is so cool that you're getting your show, man.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
How did that come about? How did somebody work that deal for you? Was it your idea?
No, it wasn't my idea. It was my buddy Bruce Klassen, who worked on Viva La Bam. He's a gaming nerd, and he had the idea to do it. So when we were filming Jackass, he just came on set. It was actually the day I did the scene where the jet engine blew me, like the Maxell commercial.
The Maxell commercial, yeah.
I
love that.
Yeah, so he came. I think he just snuck up on me at the right moment. He could ask me anything.
Was it the jet fumes?
Take my jeans. I don't care. But he's like, yeah, you want to do the show? I'm like, oh, I'll do anything to get me out of this right now. So he had the idea, and I signed on to it, and I was actually apprehensive about it because I don't know anything about video games, but eventually we turned it into not just a show about video games, but video games and movies, and we just kind of reenact stuff from the movies and video games.
From what I described it this way, it's sort of a Jackass seems to be, meets Monster Garage, meets Mythbusters, meets pop culture.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. It's pretty much Mythbusters, but without the brains. Like one of the episodes, we did the Goonies episode, and we just recreated all of Data's contraptions. And we made it work. I still have the shoes. And the
slick shoes.
Yeah, slick shoes. And the back pops out, and oil shoots out.
Awesome.
And I got to show you a photo. I pull it up right now.
But chattering teeth, did you do that?
Yeah. We did the bully blinders, and then I made a belt buckle out of a sardine can that shoots a suction cup out.
Yeah,
we did it all.
Wait, and you have pictures of power?
Yeah, we got pictures of power. Yeah, and it actually worked. Most of the stuff worked. I think we did 9 episodes, and at the end of each episode, we try and redo the things, and it's the proving ground, and we try to prove if we can do it in real life or not. And most of them, we actually did.
Seems to be. I saw the teaser. There's a good amount of teaser video up on the G4 site. It's on G4, by the way, which is a channel that I watch quite a bit. And it looks like you're having a blast, but. Is that you really putting together the stuff? Do you have the chops in welding and crap like that?
Yeah, that's what I did before I did all this was engineering and welding. Mm-hmm. So they don't allow me around.
Okay,
around certain tools,
probably rightly so. Yeah.
There's a reason why I'm denied health insurance, and they don't let me just play with anything. So there's people on set that will take over when dangerous things are involved, but I do build all the stuff, and actually that's the only thing I can do. All the knowledgeable things, I you've met me, I'm stupid. Luckily we have Jessica Chobot on the show, and she's a crazy nerd, like
she's
other level. Like, she actually abbreviates things that I didn't even know needed to be abbreviated. She just is like, she's like, oh, I'm going to the Renfest. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? All day she's talking about a Renfest. I realized later on that day, Renaissance Festival.
Right.
If you go to the Renaissance Festival so much that you need to abbreviate it to open up time in your day, you are out of control, nerd.
And
right.
And she's hot, though, too, which is the anomaly, you know?
Well, yeah, and you're such sort of an every guy, Ryan, and this show, I'm looking at the poster up here on the screens. And you're wearing a V-neck white T-shirt, which is what you're wearing right now as well.
exact outfit.
It's got to be the exact same thing. But it seems to me like, you know, that's sort of the appeal. Is it, you know, somebody that's kind of like a jackass type kind of a guy in you, and then a hot girl, but she knows her stuff. She knows what she's talking about.
Oh, my God. She has the personality of a much uglier woman. She is. I'm not kidding. Like, yeah, she is. She blows me out of the water. And then she talks to me like I should know what she's talking about. Right. Like, she gets into some, like, you know, deep tracks on some video game from the 80s. And, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. She's like, how you can? And I'm like, look. Tic-tac-toe is where it ends with me.
You said you pretty much, you checked that after in television.
Yeah. That's, and I literally, yeah. Pixel rating is like Chewbox in my brain. Yeah. You know, like, that's,
sure.
Yeah, that's all I know. And yeah, I don't know much. But that's, at first, I didn't think it was going to work because I didn't know anything about it. But the dynamic of both of us actually turned out good because I really am the idiot. And I just sit there all day, every day, just screwing it with everybody.
And
I got
screwing with her. It appears to be constantly.
Absolutely. Yeah. At first, I couldn't believe she made it through the first week.
Man, I am thoroughly intrigued by this concept. And we're watching clips of it right now on our monitors here in the studio. And I'm trying to make...
Was that Mario Kart?
That's Mario Kart. I just looked up during that. Yeah, I'm Toad. I took a foam, you know, like the foam spray.
Yeah.
And just kept on throwing it around a helmet until I had that big Toad head.
That's what that is?
Yeah. And then the problem was to get into that go-kart right there.
Yeah.
Good half day. Good half day there. I couldn't even squeeze in.
You're playing out real scenes or scenarios from video games or movies.
That's awesome.
I mean, I now my mind is swirling about what... I mean, like grappling hooks and
that comes later on.
Does it really? Yeah.
I actually almost fell. I was trying to go from one building to another through an alleyway with a grappling hook. And I'm looking down at the art department and the safety guys, and they're like six beers deep. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I was Jameson and this guy up last night, and now he's the safety guy saying, give it a shot. It's only seven floors. So the good thing about that go-kart stuff was that little the town we were in.
Is that like a Mexican town?
Three Amigos.
No way!
Santa Poco.
Yeah, wow. Where they filmed that, and yeah. I was so excited. Yeah, we got that little... the Three Amigos town.
That's wild.
That's awesome. Now, all right, so 10 years ago, these things that that you're afraid to do now, you wouldn't have been afraid to do that 10 years ago, or would you have? I don't know.
No, you know what it is? I'm not as drunk as I used to be. I got a good base going, but I'm just not... I'm not ripped up like I used to.
Man, I was just thinking about, and you told us this story. It was either from a CKY video or it might have been one of the first Jackass, but when you went and jumped into that cesspool over Westchester, and you found out, like, years later... that it's basically a giant blender that could have ripped you to shreds.
Yeah, we didn't ask too many questions back then.
No, you just went for it.
That was a bad place for Bam to live. He lived right across the street from that, right?
Yeah. Well, that one was, that wasn't the one that was right across the street from his house. That was like a mile down the road.
Right.
But yeah, not good for property value around there. You got poop plants every mile. But
it was a sewage treatment plant.
Yeah, in Westtown.
So you jumped in, but unbeknownst to you, is below a certain depth. It was apparently
a foot below, below my feet, was a rototill that was going to chop me up. But I didn't even think about it. You know what? I wanted to get in and out as quickly as possible.
So
I just jumped over the... I mean, back then, I jumped over a barbed wire fence. There was no, like approvals or, sign-offs.
Right, yeah.
I'm just like, press the red button, idiot. I'm jumping over. So I climbed over, and I'm in my underwear, and I just jumped in, and I was literally just thinking about getting to the bar. So no questions asked. But later on that day, I was at my buddy's bar, and some guy came up to me that works there. And he's like, you really just jumped in that, right? And I'm like, yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
And he's like,
If you had it jumped up a little higher.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here. Yeah. Or at least I'd be here.
Yeah,
not
half
being
of you.
Mobile
yeah,
like
yeah.
I am.
You'd be Professor X there in a wheelchair.
That was the first episode of Jackass I ever saw. And I remember it vividly because that's, you know, sort of grabs you in. You're like, what are these morons doing? And then it becomes funny. It must have been 15 years ago at this point, right?
Yeah, it's got to be, yeah. Well, you figure when we started doing CKY videos, I was 15, a band was 12 or 13.
Gosh. Wow. I went to Westchester. I used to see you guys doing stuff like, you know, up on Gay Street, or there was down on South Campus. Once you guys did something down there, I think it was with the shopping cart, something. There was like a hill down there, but we used to see you guys all over the place. And It was like, you know, before you guys were this well known. So it was kind of cool. And then once you got the show, it was like, hey, we used to watch them film this stuff.
Yeah, I based the timeline on my frosted tips. If you really go back old school, I'm living.
So you guys were really never bored as kids because you always found something to do.
Yeah, literally. Well, it wasn't legal to buy alcohol back then, and that's what happens when you get old. You get complacent, and you're like, right. I could go do something productive and awesome, but the bars are open. So,
Is there anything you did that you regret? You know, I'm talking for the CKY videos or for the movies.
Back then, the only thing, you know, I don't really have any regrets. I guess if I were to do it all over again, I think we'd, you know, have more legal things. You know, we'd have people sign stuff because that just turned into hassle, you know, after the fact. Just but people suing for whatever reason.
Nothing that, like, if you ever have kids that you're, you know, you would hide from them or anything like that.
You know, I'm an open book. I figured
That's honestly, how I am. Like, I did this one thing at a Club Risqué event. It was strap-on karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm listening.
Okay. So I sang karaoke with the strap-on in my mouth, and my boss will bring it up.
Wait, how'd you sing with it in your mouth?
It was difficult.
Yeah. Wow.
But I thought it was funny.
Multitasker.
And, yeah, but, you know, my boss will bring it up in meetings from time to time, and, you know, like, you know, what are your kids going to think in 15 years from now? I'm like, well, they'll thank me for
being on a number one show.
Yeah. Paying the mortgage or whatever.
Yeah, you're right. At least you're being productive and you're doing something. You're entertaining people. As long as you're not, my policy is as long as you're not hurting anybody intentionally. Right. Everything's fine.
You guys are always the recipient of it. It's not like you're the ones who are taking the bruises and the concussions and all that crap.
Yeah, I mean, people just don't get it, I guess. I was at the Phillies game the other day, and some, God, it sucks to say this, but young kids, I just don't get them. You know? Yeah. I really, 18-year-old whippersnappers. Yeah. And they come up, and the guy, like, slaps me on the butt, and he's like, I'm gnarlier than you, let's fight. And I'm like, I never wanted to be the aggressor. Like, right. If anything, I don't want to get beat up. I'm not trying to be gnarly. The funny part is the fact that I'm doing it for you.
Dude, I'll tell you what, in Jackass 3, the duck hunt press, did you see it yet?
Oh, yeah. No,
the duck hunt is hilarious.
Dude. That originally came from an idea I had when I was driving down in Downingtown. There's like a picnic park down there. And I was on the bike trail just riding my bike, and I see the big blob thing that they kids are jumping off and they're flying into the river there. And my original idea was to just barge into New York City and set it up like that, like in my head that work. You know, like, yeah, we'll just shut down a road, and I wanted to like be in Velcro and shoot like as high as I could, like fifth story on an office building without telling him somebody's just typing inside, you know. And then that was my original idea
in a post 9/11 world. That'd be easy to pull off.
Yeah. Well, for people who have brains, obviously that's not going to happen. Me, I was all gung ho on it, and then it morphed into what we're watching right now, which was the human skeet shooting, and I decided to have two people jump on it, and then I sat all the way on the edge, and I cruised like a land air missile, and when I hit the water, I actually tore. I didn't even know I had this something called an LCL.
What?
But I tore. Yeah. Go figure. I tore something I didn't know.
Even
I
with
had.
The duck feet that didn't protect you?
Yeah, I thought I was sitting pretty with the duck feet on.
Invincible.
So how many episodes have you guys filmed of Proving Ground?
We filmed them all. It was actually pretty tough. I was out there for about a month and a half. Yeah. We filmed 9 episodes in a month and a half.
Wow. Especially with what you're doing. It's very content rich.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, did you have fun when you're out in L.A.? I'm like, I don't remember anything. Most of the time, I didn't sleep at all.
So one season, and then they'll see if there's a second season?
Yeah.
Okay, because they need content. And we were talking off air, and I mean, there's only so far campus cops can get you.
Yeah, yeah.
Before they run out of stuff.
Classy show. I was watching it last night, to be honest with you. It's a great show, but the rest of the shows, I don't get, but people watch them, but...
Yeah, no.
Hopefully, this will be awesome.
It's a good addition. They're trying to invigorate the network. This is a perfect addition to it.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah.
If everybody thinks like you do, we'll be all right.
So if you're not much of a gamer and you guys go and you explore some of these scenarios in these video games, will you play them beforehand so you have any idea what you're getting into?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I mean, I played Mario Kart. That's it. I played that one. And then... Yeah, I can't remember all the episodes we did. This one, I think, that was Mortal Kombat. I had to go back and play that.
Oh, yeah. Is that with the ice sword?
Yeah, the ice sword Mortal Kombat.
You got a full sword cut out of ice.
Yeah, and this was one of my favorite scenes we're watching right now because we're in a morgue. And they actually had the drawers where the dead bodies go into. And there was a lot of people really bummed out about it, and I really wanted to get in it.
Yeah.
Mostly because it was early in the morning, and I just wanted to get a nap. And I was hoping they would forget about me in there, and we'd just, and I wouldn't have to work because I'm lazy.
What were you guys doing in the morgue? What did you have to do there?
That was for the zombie episode.
Oh.
What
game is it keying off of, do you know?
I can't recall right now. Yeah. I guess you could have had a better person from the show in here to answer actually legitimate questions rather than just ramble on for no apparent reason. I just looked up at that.
We got some.
Oh, dude! Falcon punched her.
Yeah, no, I gave her a taco punch. She deserved it though. So,
this is awesome. Oh, I can't wait to watch.
You really tapped her, man.
Well, she was asking for it.
That is funny. Has she done anything that we would know of before this?
She's been on G4.
She's also on Xbox. If you go on Xbox, she does Xbox Live. She does game cheats and game reviews and things of that nature.
She's
as well.
Known for one of the commercials, right? One of the game system commercials.
She like licked a PSP or something one of the commercials.
Okay,
She. I mean, if you're into gaming, you should know her.
Every geek knows her. So she's of the Olivia Munn level.
Right. Actually, she replaced Olivia Munn on Attack of the Show when Olivia Munn left.
For a little while, yeah. Cool, man.
This is hilarious.
Can people suggest things for you to tackle on the show?
Yeah, absolutely. I accept the advice because I have no idea what I'm doing. So...
I want to say we're
watching the video here in the studio, and it's very distracting. God,
these shows are great because you do have a really great personality, and you're right. It's the way you react to things. But I do want to say, it was just a couple of months ago. I caught a rerun of the Law and Order episode that you're in. You're on your dirt bike, and you're riding around in the park. You did a really great job. You're a decent actor. You're sort of able to play yourself. So to speak, but
it's actually harder to play a rendition of yourself than it is to play somebody else. I've learned that day was pretty good because that main actor, the main guy in Law and Order, whatever his name is,
Christopher Maloney.
Yeah, yeah. It was a clash of the egos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, him and I that morning because I like messed up my line like twice, and he's like,
was he a
turd? Rookie. Let me explain.
It's okay.
It was a clash of the egos. Yeah. At the time, I was like, oh, this freaking jerk.
Yeah.
And he's like, pff. And then as soon as it was his turn to do his line, he flubbed his, and I'm like, and walked off.
Yeah.
And the girl comes up, and she's like, although funny, let's try and get the scene done.
Right.
And I walked away. I'm like, screw that guy. And then the next day, I'm like, in retrospect, it was probably both our faults. We both walked in rooster chested at each other.
Right. Well, he's leaving the show. You forced him off.
Is he really?
Yeah. Way to go.
Well, are you gonna try to get any other acting gigs or?
Yeah. Well, I got that movie Living Will coming out. Hopefully by the end of the summer, Living Will will be out where I play the ghost.
Oh,
who's in this?
That's that movie I filmed a couple years ago, yes, in Swedesboro, New Jersey.
You were mentioning it last time.
Yeah. And we just got Lionsgate just picked it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? So, well, very cool.
Yeah. So I play a ghost, and just picture what you would do if you're invisible and you're a dude.
Nice.
I pretty much do all that.
Yeah. We were watching the trailer. It looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm in line to do a movie with Willie Nelson. Hopefully, it's
man.
He was just in town.
We were trying
to get him in.
Jay Shadysaker is directing it. It's the Broken Lizard guy.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It's
sure.
called Mustache Riders.
Oh,
very
wow.
cool.
Yeah.
I love that. Do you know Willie?
No, I wish I could say I do.
I mean, he's just a legend, obviously, for all the right reasons, but apparently he's just an incredibly cool, gentle, kind person and loves smoking pot.
Yeah, I've talked to him on the phone, and all he did was tell me one-liner jokes. But, yeah, there's a living one right there. Okay. And then, actually... Rob McElhenney, I was supposed to be on Always Sunny in Philadelphia this season that they're filming right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. No,
we
heard about
talking
that.
To Glenn.
Yeah.
Glenn
Howerton, yeah.
It got too expensive,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it got too expensive. So that'll be next season. And then they're working on another show right now. So
look at you, man.
They asked me to do that. So they're going to be out here in like 2 weeks. So and then I'm supposed to be there at the end of this week. So hopefully we'll have some more meetings about it.
Lionsgate cool. movie. You got the G4 show. And it's pretty happening.
Always Sunny. It'll all fall apart. I'll still be out there in the parking lot sleeping in my car in about 3 years.
But this time you'll be in a better parking lot now.
I apologize to Ryan when he first came in about our St. Patty's Day broadcast
in
Finnegan's Wake, because you came out, you were there, but dude, it was just
carnage.
It was carnage. It was crazy.
It was. Yeah. I was calling you. I'm like, I'm here.
You're on the other side
of
the bar.
Truly here. Trust me. And then I finally get on stage. I'm like, I can't even get a word in edgewise. I might as well be a hood ornament.
I apologize.
An ugly one.
Right.
And there's no point to me right now. There's just no point to me. I was giving everybody the middle finger. My whole body was.
Well, then we had you help out with a contest, which was cool. And then, we tried getting back up on stage, and we kind of turned around. And we're like, did Ryan leave?
I realized I wasn't needed when I was standing, literally leaning up against a dirty dumpster for a good 25 minutes out back, and nobody was looking for me. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm not a hot entity right now. Maybe I might be overshadowed. I don't know. Yeah, and I'm illegally parked, and
sorry. Any of those things are really like runaway trains, and you know, by about halfway through the show, we just... It just goes of its own inertia.
Yeah, and then the cannons, or what was it? The cannons
weren't working at all.
Afterwards,
cannons.
We were talking to each other on stage. We were like, man, I feel like a dick about
that. Don't worry about it. No, I think the cannons didn't work. That took the wind out of the sails. Yeah. There was too much going on. There was a fat kid named Kevin that had been drinking for like 3 days who was trying to get on my shoulders for a good hour. Adorable guy. Yeah. I'll give him that, but a little aggressive for 7 a.m.
Sure.
And I was half in the bag myself, so yeah, no problem.
All right, well, cool. We're excited about this, dude.
Very cool.
Well, it's called Proving Ground, and it stars Ryan Dunn, and look for it on G4. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Good
I appreciate
to see
it.
You, my man. You got it. Ryan Dunn. All right, we're going to take a break.
We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
Now. 93.3 WMMR. Now. Everything that rocks.
It's Nick and Sarah in for Preston and Steve. Best of Preston and Steve this week. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Ryan Dunn. And all of these will be available via the podcast through WMMR.com. We put up the podcast every day. It's free. Don't cost you a penny. And it's cool to get the podcast of best of stuff because it might have been stuff that you missed the first time around. So those will be available later today. It is 7:12 in the morning.
We
got to
get a
morning.
Clock in front of you,
I
man.
Got to turn around to see this clock, which is...
First world problems.
It's stressful to have to turn around. High in 92 today, hot and humid with times of cloud and sun. It was muggy when we walked out of the door this morning. I walked out of the door. Sarah walked out of the window.
I sure did.
And we have some great stuff coming up for you later today. We're going to play back the interview with Bradley Cooper. We've had Bradley in a few times over the years. We do consider him one of our best friends, even though we haven't seen him in a decade.
He considers you his best friend.
I think so. But we're going to play that back in a little bit. But coming up next is this really cool segment, Know Your Coworkers. And it shows what we know and really mostly what we don't know. So I think you're going to enjoy that as well. But before we get to that, we do have to take another look at the NJM Insurance Group traffic. And Sarah's going to handle that for you. Sarah, what's going on?
Route 1 South is heavy before Fox Street, where there is an accident blocking the right lane. Route 1 also heavy southbound between Rock Hill Drive and PA 132, where there is construction, and the left lane is closed there. 422 East is heavy east of Route 29. The left lane is blocked with an accident. And in New Jersey, 55 North is slowed effort to the 42 freeway. This traffic report is brought to you by Mattress Warehouse's Clean Shot Promise. Not sleeping well? Mattress Warehouse can help. Their Clean Shot Promise includes extensive sanitation, disposable covers, and private appointments. Don't miss their grand reopening sale and one-year price guarantee. Visit sleephappens.com. And that is your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah, here's the deal. Kathy, all right, I think my personality is amplified. Kathy is into a different
person. You are spot on correct.
Yeah, those are the differences between liquor consumption. I tend to be more lovey and fun and have a good time. Kathy is just completely different.
It's really why I don't drink liquor anymore.
Right, you stopped. You made a conscious decision.
Different person, and I have no idea what's going on.
But you started, man. Finish with me. Come on,
It's always better when you finish together.
Yes,
Kathy, I love you.
Okay, I love you too.
You're the best, man.
All right.
And Marissa, I know you want to stop from me.
No. You please,
lovey-dovey
you
on the
be lovey-dovey.
But man, I love these guys so much. All of you guys, I can't. And I know it sounds hokey to the listening
to the
audience.
Pokey.
To the hokey end. Okay. And let's all, put our right foot in and be happy about this.
Shake it all
about.
That's what it's all about. I love
you guys. I really, really do. We have... All right, I'll shut up.
No!
No, you got to complete that. No.
Spread the love. Spread the love.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I love coming to work. I do. I hate being up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's terrible. It's stupid. Nobody should ever get up this early in the morning. But I come in here... I have a good time. I laugh.
What was that?
Steve, you're one of my best friends. I've known you for, I don't know how long, 15 years, something like that. And somehow or another, we knew that this was going to be successful, our relationship together. And then the goofball here, Casey, was our intern. And he ended up, who knew this guy would be the goddamn producer for our show?
Well, I was first the morning show assistant.
Yeah.
And then Kathy had not, you know what? I am so glad that John Ritter died. Because we would never have known that Kathy was such a great personality. Because we tried her on many occasions. She was just, bah. This chick has no personality. She's just business. But yeah, she's got great boobs and kind of a bumpy brother ass on her.
And, brother or sister?
Brothers love you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he had a booty pop.
Yeah.
And then when John Ritter died, she showed us her personality. And she was so funny and so cool. And she's become a really good friend of mine. And even though... I don't know. She's funny as hell, but whatever.
Thank you.
And then Nick is, he's the dude.
The dude.
He's the big Lebowski.
That's good for you.
Nick's awesome, but I can never figure out. Nick, sometimes, I don't think he likes me.
Wow. That's not true at all.
No.
We share some movie clips and stuff. Like, don't give me the dramatic music, dude. Nick,
why do you think Nick doesn't like it?
I don't know.
But you
know why? Because a couple times we've had
altercations.
No, we were going to meet up like in Hershey Park a few years ago, and I tried to get a hold of him, and he just kind of blew me off. Blew me off.
Wow,
man, you hold on to weird stuff.
When was the last time that you felt blown off by Nick?
By Nick?
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, after that, it was no big deal. Because after that, I never tried to do anything with him.
Do you see how quickly that problem corrected me?
Yeah, exactly. I burned him once.
Casey. Yeah. Casey, dude.
I blew you off one time, and I've never been invited back to your house again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's now.
I love you, dude. You know that.
It wasn't my fault.
You were like a... You're one of my best friends. And honestly, I know that. I know.
Glad to meet you.
Here, let's do
they were actually rubbing your beards. Yeah, here
this
we
is
go.
A jug dish.
But I invited...
I love you, Lonnie.
I invited him and Diane to come over with their kids. And I prepared a meal. I brought all this food. We, marinated the meat and had all the casseroles and things set up the night before. But anyhow, he calls me the next day, the day he's supposed to come up, and says,
Oh, I'm sorry, dude. We can't make it. We're going over to Diane's parents' place over in Jersey. And dude. I was like, I didn't say anything. I'm like, okay, all right, that, no problem. But in my mind, I was like, you a-hole.
Yeah.
It cut deep, man.
It and did I didn't cut know deep.
That. Yeah.
And but you had a fill-in friend.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have a fill-in
friend. Yes,
you did. You did. You swapped out Marissa, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, Marissa.
Oh, was it that night, Marissa? God yeah. damn it, I love you.
Oh, I love you, too.
You're the best.
Thank you.
Right. And by the way, thank you for wearing that Casey mask that night.
And my son farted on her lap that night.
And who did
Carter.
She? By the way, who did she come over with?
What was his name? RJ?
So,
MJ?
So speaking...
I've forgotten. I swear to God, I don't remember.
Steve,
what.
Speaking of not knowing people's names.
Yes. Yeah. I was just touched by your emotionalism here, but we do have to move on.
But you love
Chuck. Let me tell you something. There'll be plenty of room for this.
Let me stop and say that I love Marissa Magnata.
Yeah.
She is awesome. She's integral to the Preston and Steve show. She's one of my favorite people in the world. Period.
She's the gas in your dirigible.
Yes.
She's right? the gas in my dirigible.
And you love Chuck, too.
Yeah. You love Chuck, too, because you'll get
don't
an eye.
Don't forget about Chuck.
Chuck's a scarecrow.
Here's our next segment we have planned for you, Preston. And we're going to turn to someone we know is masterful when it comes to running contests and games of this nature.
We have another
contest. He is a legend in the world of this sort of stuff. We love him to death. He's seminal in the lives of so many people. You know, Mr. Mark Summer.
I just want you to know, after doing this show for 5 years, during the break, Preston looks at me and says, hey, who's that dude?
I did.
Listen. 5 years.
He's wearing a hat. All right.
I rolled out of bed, man. I came here to help you out in this hokey fest, as you would mention here. I noticed when you were reading copy, you were over-enunciating because you were drunk, and now you're starting to slur your words, man.
I had Mark. Yeah. You know, you're a VO guy.
Yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to play a little game here, and you are known to be a great guy and a man of the people around here at WMMR and other radio stations in the greater media family. And one of the things that amazes everyone, Preston, is your ability to remember the names of your coworkers.
Okay.
Now, the reason they're amazed is because you have no freaking idea who the hell anybody is who works with you, okay? And this is why we're here, to play Name That Coworker!
Yeah!
Here we go. So, Steve, tell me a little bit about this.
What we have done, Preston, is we've gotten people who you work with on a daily basis, I see quite frequently, pass by in the hallway, spend time in this very studio throughout the week. In fact, work directly under you.
You're screwed, man.
We're going to bring them into the studio, and we are going to test your ability to identify who they are. Now, when they come in, Mark will read a little bit of information about them and why you should know that. And then we will let them. Then you'll have to guess their names.
And I apologize.
Okay,
first of all, but I don't think anybody heard it.
All right. I certainly didn't hear it.
Let's have our first person come in. I'll give you a little background on this person. Person number one, enter if you would. 5 months ago, this coworker was hired as the newest member of the IT department. He is in the studio at least a couple of times a week, often while the show is still on the air. And although he has not helped you, Preston, directly, he has worked with Steve, Casey, Kathy, Nick, and Marissa numerous times, with you only a few feet away. Now, in addition, you have told him that you are bad with names and apologize for that, but did actually seize the opportunity to find out who he is. Right now, what is your coworker's name?
Oh my God. And I swear to God, I was peeing next to this guy. Just the other day. And I know how important the IT people are here to us. God almighty, we cannot put on the show without the people that can help
all
us.
All right, you've got 10 seconds.
I know, Mark, shut up. We can't get on to the internet.
We can't give you any clues.
Okay. Your name is Mark. I don't know.
No.
What is it?
My name's Josh.
Josh!
Now here, press.
Josh Kramer.
The man you pee next to on a regular basis.
Press,
damn it.
Do you remember the name of the guy that Josh replaced?
This is Josh.
No.
Yeah, I know him.
Short guy.
Shorter guy. Likes Rush. I know that. No, I can't.
Todd.
Damn it.
Yeah. Not to be mixed up with Josh.
Nice to meet you.
All right.
Dan is shaking his hand.
All right. We have, we have a few to move through now. Okay. Mark, would you proceed?
Oh, for one. Here we go. Also, part of the interactive department, this person has been with Greater Media for 5 years, Preston. He's the web designer, developer, and while he does most of his work behind the scenes, he has worked very closely with the Preston and Steve gang to assist with the art direction and build out the new website. More recently, there was a show segment that discussed how the gang always confuses him and another person with his same department. His name is...
Jay.
Yes!
Yeah!
Yes!
Good job!
Jason... Very nice.
I knew Jay. Thank you, Jay.
Well, Jason.
Jason.
Jay.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people call him Jay. That's
we'll give you Jay.
That's acceptable.
Jay
for short, folks.
Our next co-worker there, Mark.
Co-worker number three. He has worked with Greater Media for 3 years and has been Marilyn Russell's producer at Ben FM for 2 years. You walk into One Bala Plaza at about the same time every morning, and when he forgets his key card to the building, coincidentally, you are often the one there to let him in.
You're right.
However,
You're right.
Never call him by his name. It's always, hey, what up, man, or how's it going, bro? Or, hey, dude. So what's his name?
Oh, my God, Mark Summers. You have so pinpointed me. I don't know.
Oh, you don't know his name.
So his name is...
Hold on, wait.
Hold on.
We've actually revealed it because he just got a promotion like 2 months ago.
Really?
And the company-wide email.
There was a company-wide email.
Yeah, and we discussed it, maybe even on the air.
You actually called me by name about 2 weeks ago.
Ooh. I know, man, and that's right when the email came out. And I 10 seconds, swear
Preston.
To God, no disrespect, but I do not remember your name. I apologize.
It's
what was your name?
Donnie.
Donnie! Donnie is Marilyn Russell's producer. Yeah. What kills me is that you let him in like every other day.
I see him every goddamn day. We come at the same time.
All right,
but
you're
I'm
one for three.
Bad.
We're going to move on to coworker number four. I got to keep this thing moving. All right, here we go. She has been in the National Sales Department as the promotions coordinator. She's the promotions coordinator and assistant for over 5 years. She's the only person patient enough to deal with Matt Cowper all day long and is the first cousin of our former intern, Jeremy. However, she's a better speller. 5 years with this relationship, and her name is...
Let me start by saying you are one of the sexiest employees.
It's not going to help you.
I know, Mark
Stop
Summers.
Stop stalling.
I know
she has
really,
a great smile. I think you even really mentioned.
Hot. I know you're really hot, but and I've seen you for how many years? How many
Five years. Over 5 years.
I just suck, man. I really do.
I knew it. I knew. Everybody else knows who I am.
I know.
But you.
I know.
Give up?
Take a guess.
Poughkeepsie.
That's super. You're close. What is she, a riverboat gambler?
I don't know, man.
Tell me your name.
What is your name?
Maura.
Maura!
Maura.
A beautiful Irish name, Maura.
Absolutely.
You're a smoking hot babe.
Nice
but
to
I'll
meet you.
Never remember that
yes,
name.
But her name is now Poughkeepsie.
She's walking out like she's mad at me.
No, she's not mad. No, it's everyone else.
All right, you are now one for four. Let's meet coworker number five. Yeah. 3 months ago, this account executive joined WMMR. His decision based directly on the opportunity to be affiliated with the number one morning show in Philadelphia. He leaves his wife and three beautiful children at age all under the age of four in Atlantic City, and he travels to Bala Cynwyd every freaking day. In order to make his living promoting just how great the Preston and Steve show is to business across the Delaware Valley, and his name is...
I've never met this
guy. Yeah, he was in the studio yesterday. Chester Helicopter Museum.
Really? Yes!
He introduced you to the client, Helicopter Museum.
You guys didn't introduce me to him. You know who he is? He's douchebag sales guy.
As all air personnel is referred to the sales guys.
What's your name, dude? I have no idea.
Joe!
Of course! It's Joe! Joe! Nice to meet you.
He works at MMR. Yeah.
So, Steve, one for five
MMR?
So far.
One for five.
There you go.
We're
going
to be best of buddies.
He sits next to Matt.
I apologize.
Before you leave, Preston, what's his name?
Joe!
Okay. Yeah! Joe!
All righty. All right, here we got a coworker number six. This is her third semester interning with the morning show. She gets your breakfast, fills your water bottle, brings it to the studio. Anything you need printed out, she is part of the backbone intern staff of this show. You have given her the nickname of Fifi, but what is her real name?
It's Fifi.
No! What is her real name?
Mark, I don't know. That's why I gave her the name
Fifi. She gets your food, your drink. She does everything you need at the station.
All right, honestly, give me a letter. Give me a letter.
C.
Carrie?
C-H.
Chrissy.
Close.
Christina?
Christine! That's a form of the word.
Christine?
Yeah! Yeah!
We'll kind of give you. You're 2 for 6 now.
All right, now I got to preface the next one. You've engaged in conversation with this next gentleman. You see him all the time in the hallway.
Yeah. For 8 years, yep, he's been with Greater Media and is currently the group sales manager for all of the stations. You invited him and his 10-year-old son, Jack, into the studio to observe the show, then proceeded to have a conversation with Michael Barkan, during which you introduced the word Kajina into Jack.
Kajina.
I have no idea. What the hell is a Kajina?
You don't want to know.
It's the webbing between your thumb and index finger.
Thank you so much. Kajina, and this gentleman's name is
Jim Brad.
Yeah! That's the one I know.
Yeah!
But what I don't know is, Jim, what the hell do you do here?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
What's your job? What's your title here, Jim?
Group sales manager.
All right. Group sales manager.
He's a big wig.
He is.
And from time to time, I don't think Jim knows who I am. I see him in the hallway, and I'm saying, hey, Jim, what's up? He's like, hey, dude, how you doing? What's up, bud? Do you know who I am?
I skip on your name. Sometimes I confuse you with your soulmate over there.
Yeah, we get that all the time. All the time. Yeah.
Yep. You guys look alike.
Yes, we do. I'm completely bald.
You're right.
Now, one more.
Really? Actually, two more.
Oh, is there two more?
Yes, here we go. Coworker number 8, you have seen this coworker around the hallways of the station for over a year and a half. He was recently named the assistant program director of our sister station, Ben FM. We know for a fact that you have asked multiple people who he is. So now it's up to you, Preston, to tell us.
God, I saw the email the other day.
We talked about it on the air.
I pulled up his website. It was sitting right in front of you.
It was just a few days ago.
Can I ask for a letter?
No! No more clues.
Damn it. Come on. Got a letter for his first name?
We helped you out with the last one.
You either know him or you don't, Preston. Come on.
He actually might be the richest employee here at Greater Media.
Why is that?
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
There's your hint.
There's your hint.
Oh, rich assistant.
Yeah!
Explain the clue.
Good job.
That's the clue. His name is Rich. He might be the richest.
So when the email Rich, I love Ben FM, dude.
Congratulations on his promotion, by the way.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, you're 4 for 8. You're doing 50%. Not bad. Here we go. Coworker number 9 has been a DJ at WMMR for over 4 years. Works nights and weekends, and you have even complimented him on his air work, and you often see him first thing in the morning. And today is his birthday.
Yeah.
And his name is Preston. What would it be?
You better not be laughing about it. Look at it. He's on the counter. He doesn't know.
He has no freaking idea, does he?
You actually complimented me on my air work? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
He works all
You
air.
Have to. You got to get this right. I'm trying
Blake.
To talk.
Yeah!
I just tried to keep talking. Maybe that would help you.
Come here. He's hugging him.
Quite impressive.
That's the mighty Blake. Wow. He's awesome, dude.
All right, now we're going to see.
By the way, I'm sorry, Mark Summers.
That's all right.
From many great TV shows.
Yeah, name one.
Name one.
Double dare, dude.
Thank you so much.
All right, anyway, we have the greatest weekend staff of any radio station in the country, not just Philadelphia.
All right, now I realize you're a little drunk right now.
Yeah,
all
right.
Our final one.
Bring back the gentleman who was coworker number one. And we want you to tell us. The IT department. What his name is. Preston, what is his name? You have told him that you're bad with names, but
10 minutes
we told
ago.
You a couple of times his name. First man on the panel today.
You guys know me so well. You know me so well. I thought I was finished and done with it.
Yes, he replaced Todd. Remember, he took Todd's job.
Yep.
This is the same guy we just had just a few minutes ago.
Yes.
Same guy. Same name.
Co-worker.
Same shirt. Same dude.
That's right. And his name is...
Which, by the way, is like a weird thing, throwback from the 80s polo shirt. That color is not in style.
You're deflecting violent. Now.
I know. Yes. 10 seconds. Steve, 10 seconds. Stalling.
Coming from the man wearing jorts.
Give me a letter.
Jay.
Jeff.
Oh, no, you're wrong. It's Josh.
Josh.
But considering your situation, you got 5 out of 10. Give him a round of applause. Yeah. 5 out of 10.
Josh, hold and sell us that you mean nothing to me. Until my laptop doesn't work.
All right, well, you know,
thanks to all the co-workers for coming in and doing that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rodney.
Mark does a fantastic job with this stuff. He's just phenomenal.
Let me bring the room down for a moment.
Ooh. Yeah.
I got to thank Mark Summers. I didn't know he was coming here. B, this dude has put up with our crap for years now. He is a legitimate great host.
Oh, thank
and
you.
The fact that he comes by here to do stuff with this.
And slums with us.
Even after he saw the inside of my body.
Yes.
Looked like a balloon knot.
It's just great. And and with our friend from Diners, Drive-Ins, and
Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri.
Let's bring up the point here that you are starring in Grease, correct?
Well, I play Vince Fontaine, the Asian disc jockey.
From the Rex of the Sex and the Best on Wax.
There you go, no, WAXX. Hey, that's right. I drove here, got pulled over by the cops for speeding.
Did you?
Get a ticket?
I got out of it.
You were going to break your microphone. It is not a punching bag.
That's right, and I had to be here for this event because when Kathy calls, I show up.
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely.
It's drug day, right?
Yeah! Mark Summers, thank you so much.
New episodes of Restaurant Impossible start Wednesday at 10 o'clock. I love you, and thank you guys for inviting me. I always have a great time here. You're the best. Thank you.
Mark Summers is the best, gang.
None better.
Drug day, we'll be right back. Stay where you are. Hey, Dave McGrogan, I love you too, man. You're the best, dude, I swear to God. And Lush. And Skippy.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Sarah and Nick doing the best of this morning.
Those guys are veterans of Camp Out for Hunger. We were just chatting about Camp Out and what it's going to look like this year. And the short answer is we don't quite know yet. You know, we're in the process of figuring it out. But Crowbot came to Camp Out last year. They could not have been nicer guys. They're really cool. And yeah, that's a good groove. I dig it.
They did a really cool cover of a Soundgarden song. I forget if it was Rusty Cage or something else, but they actually did it just for the tent. It was off air, and you can see that on WMMR.com. Brandon, the vocalist, nailed it. Absolutely nailed that cover.
Yeah, it's cool to see local guys, local-ish anyway, doing that well. Nick and Sarah in for Preston and Steve. We're hosting the best of, and wanted to remind you that a great interview with Bradley Cooper is coming up. If you didn't catch it the first time around, several years back, we'll be playing it again today, and we are getting through the day. It's hot and humid, high in 92 today, maybe some thunderstorms this afternoon, and then we're looking at this weird tropical depression coming in this weekend, which might mean a lot of rain in certain areas prone to flooding, could get another round of flooding this weekend, so we'll keep an eye on that for you. But the B-File is next, and before we get to the bizarre file, we do have another look at the NJM Insurance Group traffic with Sarah. Sarah, what's going on?
Schuylkill is heavy, eastbound Girard Avenue to South Street, and westbound Vera Avenue to South Street.
Street. Route 1 is jammed up southbound between Rock Hill Drive and PA 132. There is construction and the left lane is closed there. In New Jersey, 55 North is heavy Deptford to 42. This traffic report is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Get your protein fix and save on RX Bar protein bars at Whole Foods Market, 3 for $5, plus an extra 10% off for Prime members. Valid through July 28th while supplies last. And that is your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We'll begin with this. This is ironic, I guess. Just 2 days after a rare fatal mauling by a mother grizzly in Yellowstone National Park, a bear interrupted the taping of a television news segment on bear safety.
Really?
Yes. The odd close encounter on Friday featured a group of kayakers assisting a hiker in her effort to avoid the bear and was captured on video by a visiting cable news crew. Park officials said on Monday that the bear...
Yo, boo-boo. Look at me, boo-boo. I'm on TV.
Bear's on the cell phone.
Yeah. Look at me. I'm right behind the reporter. Look.
Park officials said on Monday that the bear seen in the footage appeared to be minding its own business and posed no immediate...
I'm on TV!
No immediate threat to the hiker. Spokesman Dan Hoddle said that they were taping a bear safety story when they spotted a hiker, Aaron Prophet, and a nearby bear.
Do you want me to play the bear?
As Prophet backed away from the bear, she found herself at the edge of a lake where the bear was headed.
All right, you walk along and I'll come in as the bear, okay? I'm an angry bear. What are you doing here? I'm an angry bear. I'm a mother bear and I got cubs. I'm the most kind of dangerous bear. How was that?
Dave Beecham said, who was one of the three people in a nearby kayak, paddled over to help Prophet swim away from the bear. Although the bear never charged and
I've got my SAG card.
And did not appear to be directly threatening her, Prophet told the camera crew that she was scared and was glad for the help. Beecham, visiting the park from Oregon, had his son and father-in-law.
Listen, can I talk to you for a second? I'm not believing you on this. I think you got to really be the kayaker. Okay, let's try it again.
He and his son and father-in-law were in the kayak during the incident. He felt compelled to help, but was also afraid the grizzly bear was going to come after us, he said. Hoddle said it was actually a black bear. It wasn't a grizzly, and they had initially misidentified it as a juvenile grizzly. So nobody got hurt, and everything was cool. A man in Twinsburg, Ohio, got out of his car in the middle of traffic because he had to pass gas.
Huh?
He stopped in the middle of a road, hopped out of his car, started running around his car shouting, "I have to fart." According to police,
there might be some mental issues.
He then got back into his car and drove away. Police found him at the water tower where he told them that he stopped his car earlier because he had to fart, but was not able to because, quote, it hurt too much. The man was taken to the hospital for his psychiatric history to be looked
okay,
into.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I just stay in the car when I fart.
A 6-year-old girl has become the youngest person to hit a hole-in-one at the Lynx at Ireland Hills Golf Course Bloomington, Indiana. The girl who turned 7 in November hit the 885-yard shot. That's a pretty damn good distance for a kid that young.
Yep.
With a 4-hybrid club. Her parents say she's been playing golf since she was 2 years
old.
Where
was this?
This was in Indiana.
Huh.
And she hit a hole-in-one. Pretty amazing. A vacationer has been left half-blind after a bird that he was trying to rescue attacked him and literally pecked his eye out. Michael Buckland's right eyeball was punctured at least 3 times. There are many times that doesn't even sound human, man. Michael Buckland.
Sorry, I was just staring at this bird over there.
Michael Buckland's right eyeball was punctured at least 3 times. And his left eyelid sliced in two by the bird's razor-sharp 6-inch beak on a beach in South Wales.
That'll show him.
Now Mr. Buckland has been told that he will never be able to see again through his right eye, but his left eye has been saved. He was with his girlfriend when they saw the injured seabird unable to walk or fly. He scooped it under his arm to take it to higher ground. away from the incoming tide. But a terrier ran over and tried to attack the bird, which flew into a panic. And then
friggin' terrier?
And then it started pecking his eye out. That is messed up. All right, and then finally we'll end with this. A pastry chef in New York City is suing her ex-boss, executive chef Eric Hara, for sexual and physical harassment. 27-year-old Melissa Rodriguez worked at the Oak Room in New York City.
Oh,
nice restaurant.
Very prestigious, yes.
Where she says Hara would pour different kinds of food in her hair, like cream, chocolate, and honey. She also claims that at least once a day he would pick her up and throw her into a garbage can.
What the hell's that about?
And that he made her carry eggs in her shirt that she would have to smash and rub into her chest if she did something he didn't like.
What?
Hara has denied the allegations and says the former pastry chef is only making a, quote, money move. Rodriguez is seeking $25 million in damage. That's a bit...
Yeah, that is a little bit excessive.
On the money side, but still, maybe this guy needs to back off a bit. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay there.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Cancer won't stop, and neither will we. Join myself and Team WMMR on Sunday, August 9th for the 48th annual ACS Bikeathon. This year, we're going virtual. The pedal power to finish the ride against cancer may look different, but the mission remains the same. Each Team WMMR rider gets a free team t-shirt, registration, and complete details at WMMR.com. And check out our custom Team WMMR apparel providers, Bolay and Go Cycling. Team WMMR and the ACS Bikeathon, virtually unstoppable.
The ACS Bikeathon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
We've got one of the stars of The Hangover 2 here in our studio. Bradley Cooper is here.
Thanks for having me back.
How you doing, man?
I feel like I was literally just here like a week ago.
It was
2 months ago.
Yeah, 2 months ago.
I am a whore. Yeah. I am a whore.
No, yeah. But you're a whore in the right way because you obviously...
Oh, I love whores. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. That was not a derogatory.
Yeah, no. You opened in number one with the
Thanks
last
Thanks to
film.
You guys. Well, honestly, yes, no, yeah. Seriously. I mean, the promotion and the reception, I mean, it was so far beyond what we could have hoped for.
You know what's cool about that? Because, you know, a movie like that, which is more, it's a concept, you know, it's not a rebooting. It's not a sequel.
Yeah.
It's an original script. That's a tough thing to pull off.
Yeah, I mean, it was for Relativity, the studio to make it. I mean, that script was around for 10 years. And yeah. No one wanted to make it. I mean, how do you make money in a movie like that? And, you know, we just got so lucky. It's like 145 million worldwide.
That's awesome.
Now. I mean, it's crazy.
So when they look at you, obviously the thing to do is be number one for the first week. But also, I guess to be, and the reviews were all saying, you know, I mean, not that you don't know this, but that you're a star now that can open a movie, you know, in first place. Does that sink into you, or is it best to not let that get into your head?
Well, you know what? The truth is, you know, afterwards, my agent, who's one of my best buddies,
right.
This guy, Dave, who's a young guy, and, you know, we said, okay, things are going to change on Monday, right?
Yeah.
So Monday rolled around. I was like, yo, bro, so what do we got? And he was like, you know, it's early. Let's wait till the afternoon. And it was like 4 p.m. Yo, bro, how we doing? What do we got? And literally, not much change. Like, it's just so funny because you never know. Like last week, I was in my house putting myself on tape with my buddy,
right.
Like in my kitchen
to
play Lucifer in this movie. Oh. I mean, luckily I got it, but it was like, you know, you still got to.
What's the movie?
It's called Paradise Lost. They're actually
the actual classic Paradise
John Milton poem.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Hopefully we'll get it made. But I've been obsessed with it for like 3 years. But I'm sitting there playing Lucifer in my kitchen.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. I was talking about reviews and the day after and the weekend opening at number one. I was surprised to find out you're a big Rotten Tomatoes dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
we're friends with Matt Atchity. Yeah.
Oh, does he
start? The guy who created the whole
site.
Kidding. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say I'm a fan. I'd say I have an addiction.
Why, how did you become addicted to...
Well, you know, some evil person said, hey, you know, they rate movies. There's a place that actually collects every single review.
Right.
And then they, you know, you're either adorned with a Rotten Tomato or a Fresh Tomato. And I said, oh, that sounds sick. Let me go on there and see how horrible my setting is.
Yeah, how did All About Steve do on that?
It's one of the best rated movies of all time.
We told you last time we were here.
You liked it.
Yeah,
that's
we
right,
did.
That's right. right.
We did like it.
Yeah. I think it's like, I would say, I'm just taking a guess, it's like an 18 probably percent on Rotten Tomatoes, I would say.
No, maybe, but Matt Ashley's
still better
it,
than Sucker Punch, so you're fine. we got to see the Hangover 2, and it, really, the ante has been upped.
I'm so, wait, so you guys saw it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to say, I think it's better.
Yeah, it's,
I do, but here's the thing. It's the same formula.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, you can't, the sort of new quality of, oh my God, this is a great formula, is not going to be there. So it's a different set of a criteria to make the movie great. I think it's more about these guys' relationships. And I think it's a darker movie.
It is. Oh, yeah. There are parts, you know, in the movie where, you know, the phrase that keeps getting repeated is that Bangkok's got
right.
him now.
That's right.
And there is a really sort of disturbing element to it. I have a feeling that you guys were sitting around thinking, should we do this? Because there's so much of
wrong.
That.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Steve, didn't you say you saw like a really weird promotional placement for...
This cracked me up. 7-Eleven has Hangover 2 cops. Right. And I'm like... Did anybody from 7-Eleven go see the movie? really?
What do they want to put in that cup?
Yeah, this is a door. This is... No. I was like, holy... I said to my wife, she hadn't seen the movie. I said, let me tell you about some of the stuff that's in it. It blew my mind.
Well, part of the appeal of the first one, obviously, is the chemistry between you and Ed Helms and Galifianakis, because for the most part of the movie, you guys are together. And there's a scene that I want to ask you about. And I don't want to give the joke away, but you guys are in Thailand, and you're in a cab, and it's you and Zach and Ed Helms and a monk and a monkey. And the monkey starts doing something that... It seems to me your reaction was genuine laughter. Like, you guys kind of got caught off guard by what the monkey was doing.
Right.
Was that part of the script as well?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And actually, there were other people in the back of a pickup.
Right.
Yeah, on our way to the monastery.
Right.
Yeah. No, that was all set.
The monkey was trained to do that.
Yeah, you have to train the monkey.
Yeah. Okay.
No. But it saves the kissing for its boyfriend. That's the second time you worked with that monkey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. The other classic that accompanies All About Steve, Failure to Launch.
Yeah.
That I did with Crystal.
Oh, and Crystal is...
Yeah, Crystal was a monkey at the end, in the end credits of Failure to Launch.
Wow. Did he remember you?
She didn't, but I have to say, I became very close with Crystal on this movie. Because if you notice, Crystal's, without giving anything away, there's a little bond between...
There's a villain, a big bond.
Yeah.
She's on your shoulder a lot. Throughout the movie. Yeah.
And she plays a he. We always have to say it's he. It's a he drug dealer. How about that sequence?
Yeah,
that's with the music and the freeze frame.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at you. I feel like you didn't like it.
No. I loved it. Absolutely. No. I'm just taking this all in.
I feel like you didn't like it.
There are literally scenes in the movie where you're going, oh. Oh my God.
No, we've already started quoting it. Yeah. You know, and I don't want to give away some of the quotes because they are so good.
I mean, I think it's hilarious. I mean, I thought it was, I mean, I laughed more making this one than the first one.
Well,
for sure, actually.
Yeah. The thing is that the level, the way it degenerates
is just massive.
How about
Stu's arc?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Ed Helms in this movie.
There's nothing worse that could happen to a guy. There's nothing. This is. I mean, we're talking Shawshank time.
Yeah. And his tone of voice after the shot.
Oh man, that's what that scene. Oh. I mean, when we shot that scene, because a lot of that's in a wide shot, I ruined a lot of takes because he was just. I mean, it was like he was. Honestly, I don't know another actor that could do that. He's like honing like some like Jim Carrey like some, you know, what he's doing in this movie is incredible. I mean, when I saw it, he was in the same screening. I said, man, this is it. Like,
well, there's a brilliant aspect to Ben Stiller does it well. The put upon the everyman who's reacting to his extreme set of circumstances, and when he finds out what happened during this encounter in segments, it just builds and builds. But man, we were talking about this. He won the lottery with that wife of his,
you know. And there's a scene that didn't make it where because we talked about that.
Yeah,
I mean, like, is the audience going to go like? What? Her with you, we'd believe. But
wait, so there was a scene at the end of the, you know, when they go in the elevator where Phil goes like, "Are you effing kidding me?" You know what I mean? With this broad, like, how did you land?
Right.
You know, but we just sort of, but you know, we they cut it out just to keep the movie moving. But yeah, I know it is. I mean, she's dropped
stunning.
Dead,
stunning,
gorgeous.
Do you get disappointed when scenes like that get cut out? Something that made you laugh, or you know, that you worked hard on, and then it just gets cut out?
Honestly, not in this movie at all. Because first of all, I agree with it cutting out because you have to keep the story moving. Like, you always have to think about the movie itself, and you have to get rid of things that might be little gems because in the end, it could take away from the music of the movie. But besides all that, I completely trust Todd Phillips. You know, so. He, you know, his rhythm. First of all, the score. How about the score?
Yeah,
in the
it's
movie?
Very
the
music. Awesome. Yeah. Preston was right at the beginning as it started the movie to progress, and we saw a Billy Joel poster. And
yeah, how about that? We thought Love Is Bad, and then you call it back late. Yeah.
Well, there were three moments. I leaned to, and I'm not giving anything away here, but I leaned to Marissa, who was next to me. I'm like, I'll bet you Billy Joel's going to make a cameo in this because there were like three or four references
that's
along
right.
the way. They played the Downeaster Alexis.
Yep.
And then there's a song that's playing that Ed Helms plays. I'm not going to say what it was, but I caught all those little references.
Yeah, that's great.
What's the point of that? Is Todd just a huge fan of Billy Joel?
We just like the idea of Alan, you know, loving him. Yeah. You know, have his poster above his bed, right, and then just sort of calling it back. And actually, there was another part of another song, another Billy Joel song that was outside of, it's hard to talk about stuff without giving it away, but outside of the place where we find out that they went to the night before with the thing.
Yeah. You know,
when they were walking down that alley, originally there was a Billy Joel song playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Well, I love that. There are so many things that you actually have to catch. You really pay attention because there's one sequence, again, not to give too much away, but there has been a massive fire and the street has been burned up. And those little subtleties, all of that, and that may have been done on a lot, but you were clearly on location.
No, that was in Bangkok.
That was in Bangkok.
That was in Bangkok. Just about everything was in Bangkok except for the interior of when we wake up in the morning. That was L.A.
It impressed me because it looks really real, everything, so obviously that's why it did. Yeah. But it also, it looked sweaty and slimy
it was
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do
that. I'm glad you got that because we were so adamant about looking like that all the time.
Yeah. You know, I do want to ask because I love Todd Phillips and he always makes these little cameos in his movies. He wasn't in this one, right?
Let me tell you something. Yeah, that was a big thing I shouldn't even talk about with Jinxie, but it's like a thing. It's like that he was only not in one cameo of one movie and it was School for Scoundrels.
Oh, really?
No kidding.
And we know, you know what I mean? So it was a big deal, and we were trying, you know, Mr. Creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. That wasn't School for Scoundrels 2 when the first one was a huge hit. The odds are better for you on this one.
It's always good to break a curse anyway.
Right. Yeah.
You know
exactly.
What I mean? And when I saw the movie, I was like, to me, you know, as a fan, and Zachy saw it last night, and he texted me. He was like, epic. Zachy. And that guy doesn't give anything up.
Are you guys all friends?
Oh, yeah. He's like I love him.
Let me ask her, are you pals with Tyson now?
Yeah. I mean, in my mind.
Yeah, yeah. Did he? Because that dude, I've been watching periodically this show where he raises pigeons.
Pigeons, right? Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Is it great? I hear it's great.
It's bizarrely compelling.
Yeah. Well, he's so honest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about him. Did you see the documentary?
Yes.
Incredible.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was just incredible.
There's a total, his life, he just laid it out bare. Yeah.
And he's like that. Like, you hang out with him for 10 minutes, he'll tell you four epic stories.
Wow.
Yeah. About when he was fighting. I mean, it's just incredible.
That's very cool. I going back to the Thailand thing and Bangkok and the whole deal, I don't care how big the production crew is around you. Was there ever a point where you felt like, man, we were in some bad, because it looked like you were in some bad parts of a bad town?
Yeah, well, I mean, the interesting thing about Bangkok, I never felt, I never feared for that there was going to be a violent aspect ever. But, you know, most of it looks bad.
It does.
You know what I mean? We shot it. I mean, Chinatown looks like, you know, what you thought when you saw The Year of Living Dangerously or The Killing. You know what I mean? But, but there's a, you know, they say it's the land of a thousand smiles. The people there are so ebullient.
Yes.
That's a word.
Like, it is.
With their eyes and the way they, and there's food. Everybody, no one's idle. That you don't feel that. And there's just so many people.
Yeah.
You know, it's very rare that you walk down an empty street.
You did shoot in two gorgeous locations in Thailand, too. The one fancy hotel in Bangkok and then the honeymoon wedding destination as well.
And oddly enough, I hated both places.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I couldn't wait to get back to Bangkok. We shot 2 weeks in Krabi, which is beautiful. But, I mean, you just don't want to do a movie like this in a resort, you know? So we, Todd, too, we just could not wait to get back into the city.
Wow. It feeds the thing more if you actually feel that sense of peril.
And that's what we felt in Vegas when we shot the first one. Yeah. You know, and it's just invaluable.
Right,
and it was
the
same thing here. The minute we got to Bangkok, you know, because just logistically it's difficult to get to set. I mean, the traffic makes, you know, LA like Amish country. I mean, it's really, you know, it's really crowded.
Bradley, you've become such a high profile, you know, personality now. When you're over in a Bangkok like that, you feel a little easier to relax. You don't have people bugging you all the time.
You know, honestly, I got to tell you, I don't run into many problems anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. But definitely in Bangkok, it was even easier.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I walk around in New York and no problem.
Okay. Do you think you get a lot of, they think you look like Bradley Cooper, but you can't be Bradley Cooper?
No, I haven't gotten that. Okay. No. But this morning I went to the Fox to a TV and the woman came in. She said, she goes, yeah, I was wondering. I said, look at this guy. He looked really hungover. And I thought, oh, yeah, it's Bradley Cooper. Thank you. Good morning.
That's nice.
Yeah. Happy Monday to you.
Can you bounce back from a hangover like your character in the movie can? Because you wake up in the most pain possible.
Well, you don't drink anymore, right?
I don't. No, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Because within like 15 minutes, these guys are on
but
the
move. I didn't. I was not a good hangover. My constitution did not permit me to, you know, quickly recover.
No human could tear it up the way. I mean, possibly, but
I can't.
Goes down in this movie. I'm sorry. Yeah. If I was being sodomized that way, I might have some recollection.
Metaphorically, we're not getting anything away. Yes.
My hangovers
are emotionally sodomized.
Honestly, my hangovers are so bad that if my friend was missing, I'd be like, you guys go find him. I gotta stay here. Yeah, right? Like, I am not getting out of bed. Call me if you find him.
I don't think that there's anything scarier when drinking than blacking out. And I haven't been blackout drunk in a long time, probably since college. But, you know, you'd go binge drinking back then and it would happen from time to time. And when they're
or
every Friday,
but then there would be like the, you know, the communal thing where you're talking, you're regaling each other about the stories, and it's like, oh, I did that, you know. But you know, this movie, it goes, oh, I did that.
None of those stories are pleasant recollections.
No, yeah. Not when you're in Thailand.
Depravity.
So what about this movie where you're going to be playing Satan? That's something you're working on.
Working
or is
on.
It
yeah,
official?
Yeah.
Are you producing it?
No. I probably shouldn't even have said it. But
I read something about it the other day.
You did. Oh, good.
It said how you were concerned on your you know, your persona, and you want to work on something more dramatic. I'm sure.
Oh, really?
Just,
yeah. Oh, who said that? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
interesting.
I'm a lot more thoughtful than I thought. I'm really quite
very
the actor.
Calculated. Well,
the last time you were here was beginning of March, and 2 days after you were here, there's a really interesting article about you in the New York Times, and a guy had spent some time with you, I guess, out on the beach in Malibu.
That's right.
And it was really sort of a nice little insight into your life, and they talked about another project that you were really...
That's why I'd like never to bring
it up.
Because I literally
can I bring that one up?
You can bring it up.
Well, you're a huge fan of The Great Gatsby.
That's right.
And you were really trying to get that role.
Well, but back then, you know what was so crazy? All I knew was that they were making the movie.
Okay.
So I just said to him, I was like, oh, you know, it'd be a great role to get with Big Tom Buchanan. He was like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, that's off the record. Right? Or I think I said that. He's like, yeah, no worries.
Then ends the whole article. Is this the Baz Luhrmann
thing?
Because that's in my top three favorite books of all time.
Me too, man.
And I loved, I think that the Redford Mia Farrow movie got a short shrift. It's pretty, it's better than
you know,
than
it's
people.
Funny. I went back and watched it. It's better than I remember it.
Right. And Sam Waterston as
great,
Nick
great
was
Nick
a great cast.
Yeah. But Tobey Maguire is going to be insane. I think he's the perfect Nick Carraway.
So it's you're not.
No, I was. So then after that, I did try to get the role.
Sorry, man.
No, you screwed it up. No, not at all. I don't mind talking about it. It's over now. It's dead. Yeah. The whole project's dead to me.
Oh, great.
No, I'm kidding. I love Baz Luhrmann, and he's a sweetheart, and he was kind enough to let me beg him for me to audition for it.
Right.
But no, I did not get it for the role of Tom Buchanan.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Because he is.
And
he's,
I grew
he's
a little mustache.
Really?
It's so vulnerable.
Bruce Dern was
interesting
solid.
Casting though.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it was they definitely, I think, went against type a little bit casting Bruce Dern as Tom Buchanan.
You know who wrote that screenplay though? It really kind of wrote itself. It was Francis Ford Coppola.
No kidding.
Wrote the screenplay. Because when I watched it recently, I'm like, holy Christ. Yeah, he wrote the screenplay for that.
That's one of those books that you can read in a weekend, too, because it's not terribly long, and you get so engrossed
in it. Well, the cliff notes for Great Gatsby are longer than Great Gatsby.
Yeah. I actually read it in Bangkok. I had a day off, and I read it, again.
Well,
yeah.
Well, what's your dream project if you had, you know, now that you have
I got to say,
this incredible new power.
I got to tell you, honestly, 3 years ago, I asked who had the rights to Paradise Lost.
Really?
And Legendary, who made The Hangover. Had them, and this guy Thomas Toll, who's a great guy, and I went into his office. I said, "Look, I know it's crazy. I'm obsessed to play Lucifer."
Right? Yeah.
And he was like, "Okay." I was like, "Here's my take on it." And then it's been like a 3-year process, and then last week we got the offer for it.
I think it was Entertainment Weekly or one of the sites had the top 6 devils in movies, you know, De Niro in
Angel Heart. Right.
And the guy in Constantine. I don't know.
Of course. I was about to say, that's probably the best portrayal of the Lucifer. What's his name? Peter Stormare.
It turns it on its
Swedish
head.
Actor.
He was
incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. What about the guy from The Golden Child? That guy was good.
not so much.
No, I love The Golden Child. The night. The night.
We knew you were a movie fan, and if you know something as obscure as that, your knowledge must be pretty deep. You know what? I'd like to test you on your movie knowledge, if you don't mind. We have set aside some clips here, and they are some of the greatest movie insults of all time.
These are awesome.
And if I play a clip, let's see if you can name what movie it's from. Let's go with this one. Here we go.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, English, giant, twerp, scumbag, face, head, hole.
Yeah.
I bet you know this.
I do know it. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
You want the actor?
Yeah, I know who the actor is.
I'll tell you who the actor is if you want.
Kevin Kline.
It's not Fish Called Wanda.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Hold on. One pair of tickets. All right, this one's incredibly easy. Here we go.
It looks to me like the best part of you ran down to crack your mama's ass and ended up in the stain on the mattress.
Full Metal Jacket.
Bingo. Yeah. There we go. All right, next one. This one's very, very short.
You're one ugly motherfucker.
Predator.
Yes! Nice! Three pair of tickets.
These are too easy for him.
Well, I've got some harder ones. Right. I want to go with some easy ones first. Here we go. This is really simple.
You're a piece of
That's Scarface.
Nice. Wow. Scarface. Very good. Let's see.
I'm going to go to a shorter ding after that.
Let's see if he can go with this one. Here we go.
Oh, so you can't go to Vegas. She can
all about Steve.
Close enough. We'll give it
to you.
The right actor from The Hangover. Here you go. Here's a gimme, too.
You stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Oh, God. I don't know that one.
Oh, you're not a nerd.
Come on.
A bit Revenge of the Nerds?
No.
Animal House? I don't know.
Oh, you know that.
Sci-fi.
Carrie Fisher.
Oh, Star Wars?
Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back.
All right.
There you go.
Are you giving him that one?
No.
Well, he gave it. It's Bradley Cooper. I think we can afford
it. Give it to him, will you?
Just a couple more.
Give him the friggin' thing.
This one, I don't remember. Here, let's go.
Here goes. Start with obvious.
Excuse me,
is that your nose or did a bust?
Oh, yeah, Roxanne.
Roxanne, yeah. Very good. That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it's great.
Wrong button. Yeah. Sorry.
Wait a second. How are you doing?
Empire Strikes Back doesn't count. That's not even.
We'll just do two more. Here we go. This one you may recognize.
Your part, eggplant.
Oh, yeah. That True Romance.
True Romance. Yes. Very nice. And then we'll do.
Oh. Bonus round.
Cheesy
ass. Now it's time for Mister. That's like a whole different show.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Who's at the door?
Last one. Here we go.
They're overpopulated in this region, and they're decimating the grubworm population. You got a problem with that?
Wedding Crash.
All right. So
thanks for including me in that.
Nope. Oh, we had to.
We figured there were a couple of good insults.
You end up getting quoted quite a lot. So
Zach Lodge, yeah.
I love that guy. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I did. I really love that guy.
The part when you're doing the otter impression just floors me.
Oh, speaking of impressions, last time you were here, you did Christopher Walken, which was great.
Right.
I read this morning that you do Owen Wilson.
Yeah. Claire's mom made me feel her hooters.
That is awesome, man.
That is great.
The real bitch of it is that you're very funny and you get the good looking thing too. So
it's smart.
It kind of really pisses me off.
Wait a second, I thought we were getting along.
He still has to beg for movie roles, Steve. So.
He's still right. Yeah, that's right. Didn't get the Great Gatsby.
I'll hold that one.
I can climb Empire better than you can. So.
Were you in town this weekend? Did you see your mom for Mother's Day?
I just came in this morning. I'm going to see her tonight. Yeah,
gotcha. Because we know you being local and all. You pop in from time to time.
Yeah, I'll be there tonight.
Will a Bradley Cooper Blu-ray would that suffice as a Mother's Day gift at this point? Or
do you have?
Oh, you mean that's what I care about? Yeah. Hey, Mom, Wedding Crashers on Blu-ray. Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day.
Seven of them. Yeah. Seven of them. The whole.
I signed it.
Mom's not impressed, right?
No.
Well, cool, man. I mean, we highly recommend The Hangover 2. Obviously, if you saw the first one, you're going to love this one. I've been, all over Facebook and Twitter, people are already talking about how they want to see it.
Good.
It's the next go-to. Gotta see.
And I think it's the one where, I don't know, did you see it by yourselves or were you in
a theater? We saw it with the theater.
You missed like every fourth joke.
Yeah.
It is going to be one of those, if people like it, a repeat view, because you literally miss 5-6 jokes.
You'll be laughing and gagging, right. But a number of times.
But you do miss a lot of the stuff because what Todd's so great at is picking out the little improvisations that we have throughout the whole movie.
Right, and there are a lot of them. It's awesome.
Yeah, I've already started to quote myself as a stay at home son.
my favorite though is this. I didn't know this was a magic show. That I think is the greatest.
I love it. Well, cool, Bradley. Thanks again for giving some time to us and coming.
Great to see you guys again.
And come back anytime, all right?
For sure.
You got it. Bradley Cooper on the Preston and Steve Show. And make sure you go see Hangover Part 2. All right, we're going to take a break. We're coming back in a moment. Stay there.
Back in the olden days, about 5 years ago, your only options to keep listening to WMMR when you got home would be to drive your car into your living room. Or turn on something called a radio. But now, through modern technology, the smart speaker that's secretly collecting data on you...
What did you say?
...can also stream WMMR. Just tell Alexa or Google to open MMR, and magically we'll come streaming into your home. Plus, it may help distract your device from becoming self-aware. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
It is Nick and Sarah on WMMR. It's 8:47.
The clock turn around placement and look at the clock. Is no good in the studio.
And we're hanging out doing some best of stuff. Some great interviews like the one with the late Ryan Dunn and then that one that we just played back with Bradley Cooper, which is cool. And then we're going to have another conversation coming up, which is very different than the conversation we just had with Bradley Cooper. But you'll see what I mean when we get to it. Before I forget, I wanted to say good luck and welcome back to the Philadelphia Union, who have a game this morning. It starts at 9 a.m.
Oh.
So to our friends with the Union, they're down in Disney World in that general area in Orlando. So welcome back to Philly Sports, and it's cool to have them playing again. It'll be really interesting to see how this tournament goes with the MLS, but good luck to the Union, and we're rooting for you, of course. Hot and humid today, high in 92, times of cloud and sun, and then this rainy system comes in this weekend, so we'll see what that brings us, but there are going to be some areas that are prone to flooding, so we'll watch out for that over the next 24 to 48 hours. And we're going to get to this conversation about some interesting physical appearances in the next break, but before we do that, we do have another look at the NJAM Insurance Group traffic, and that's with Sarah. Sarah, what's going on?
Thanks, Nick. Schuylkill westbound is jammed up from University Avenue to South Street. The Vine is heavy westbound from the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill. In New Jersey, Jersey Turnpike southbound is slow before the Delaware Memorial Bridge. There is a disabled vehicle there, and the left lane is blocked. And 55 North is slow Deptford to 42. This traffic report is brought to you by the Air Quality Partnership, a program of the DVRPC. Whether waiting for the kids or picking up takeout, protecting your lungs is more important now than ever. Save gas and your lungs. Don't let your vehicle idle. Visit airqualitypartnership.org. And that is your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, I want to thank the gang at Comcast Sportsnet last night.
Those guys are great.
They set us up in the Comcast suite. Had a great time. So thank you to Kim and Cynthia from Comcast.
And Maureen.
And Maureen as well, for setting us up with that.
Yeah, we were chatting with them all night. They're all huge fans of the show. And who was it? Was it Maureen or was it, I forget which one brought it up. It might have been Kim herself. We were talking about, the phenomenon of the muffin top, which you're familiar with the muffin top.
No, what is the muffin top?
Mostly on women.
It's a the tight pants that cause a dome like flap over the top of the pants. That's called like the muffin top.
When they wear their jeans too tight,
yeah. Like the front ass or whatever, right?
No, oh wait, no, this no, is no, different. No. This is the gut that pops out over
it's
the.
It's like this on this waist. Iverson bobble thing that we have here,
right?
Yeah.
That this there's a like a hemispherical, semi-hemispherical top over okay. the pants. Which is considered the muffin top.
Okay, it's not contained fine. Within the pants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Sure. It is the overflow.
And we started to see more of that as the lowrider jeans
right.
became
right.
more popular.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
Right.
The muffin top, though?
The muffin top. That's because that's what it looks like. Well, it looks like a muffin top.
Maybe like the half shirts are showing the belly. No,
that's got to be a new term because the lowrider jeans didn't come on until what? Like maybe
a couple years ago.
4 or 5 years ago or something like that?
Well, I don't think it's part of that, but it's also the fact that a lot of the people who aren't really assessing their girth accurately or what they should be wearing and not wearing.
Right.
So they'll wear tighter pants and that causes overflow.
Okay.
Exactly.
So while we're talking about that, she introduced the concept and I'd sort of heard this periodically referred to in different ways.
Yeah, a little bit different.
The FUVA.
The FUVA?
Are you familiar with this?
So the muffin top is also known as the FUVA?
No, the muffin top is a different thing. The FUVA might be in tandem to the muffin top. They might work together.
What is
the
FUVA?
The FUVA, as legend goes, is fat upper vaginal area. Which is also referred to as front ass.
Okay, so that's the front ass.
Yeah. Front ass. See, we called it something different. You're talking, this is the part that's actually contained in the pants, right?
Right.
Yes.
Where you basically,
where
everything
right
shifts
here.
Forward and creates a faux ass.
Front upper vaginal area.
Yeah.
Okay. FUVA. What did you call it?
We called this, and I have to over-enunciate the first letter. We called it a gunt.
Yes.
A gunt?
A gunt.
You've got to be kidding.
I've heard that before, too. Yeah.
A gunt and...
Yeah, yeah. So if you were to marry a couple of words together, you would come up with gunt.
But FUVA... Well, gunt now beats... FUVA, but FUVA was, I thought, was ingenious because you do see that periodically. Where and I years ago, someone sent a series of pictures to me that was one of those where you had to decide whether you were looking at the front of the person. You saw it, right?
Yes.
Or the back of the person.
I never saw that.
And you had to determine whether it was the ass or the gunt. And
it's hard.
It's hard.
Is it really?
Really hard.
Well, then there's also, we were talking last night about the back boobs.
Wait a minute. I just thought of something. FUVA.
FUVA. Have you met FUVA?
The back boobs. Like when the bra,
the back boobs.
When the bra is too tight and it looks like they have boobs on their back
as
well.
And they did that as well. They sent that around where the straps cut in under like the lat muscles in the back,
exactly,
and the flesh dips over, basically creating a
back boob.
Yeah, fake boobs.
So you call them back boobs?
Back boobs.
See, I think I created the term lunch lady boobs because it's when the bra is so tight that in the front that little crease causes you to have four boobs.
It is a quadruple boob. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like it almost looks like gills.
Yeah,
lunch lady boobs.
It's, and only because one of the lunch ladies in my school always had that. She had four boobs.
I hate that. Yeah. I hate that. When people wear like tube tops, and it creates like a semi boob above the actual boob, it just looks bad. It digs in. I saw, I forget where I was, but yes, a couple days ago, I saw this woman who had a flesh awning hanging off. I kid you not.
Is that like?
But you know, there's meat curtains.
I thought flesh panties.
It's a whole other
flesh panties.
I remember that.
Yeah, that will explain that phenomenon. But and of course, the woman had elected to wear completely inappropriate,
of course,
like stretch pants.
Yes,
but it literally was a flap that sunk below the belt line that was almost mid thigh, like a straight, like that you could lift it up like a pizza. You know, like pizza dough.
Twirl it around.
And a flap like
as
that.
As if she were possibly over obese at one point.
And lost a lot of weight. But
right.
Still had that excess. But I mean...
Okay.
Has to get a tummy tuck.
You could not have picked a more efficient garment to accentuate your flesh flap than the, what she was wearing.
And you know what? And this is, I want to point this out because actually I got an email from a woman this morning who was kind of giving me a hard time because we were at Club Risqué and when we were doing the amateur dance off and we started to have kind of larger women getting up on the stage right. and we were kind of poking fun yeah. at that. And I should probably take offense to what we're talking about because she said a large lady as well. But the point I want to make is if you are large and overweight, you probably don't want to enter an amateur strip contest.
Well,
if you're large and overweight, you probably don't want to let your midriff hang out and right. have the muffin
that's,
top.
That's all
the
it's
front
about.
Butt.
It's like, does someone just.
I mean, we could be some of the ugliest people
we're
on the
hideous.
Planet and never ever claim to be attractive in any shape or form. And
right. That's why we don't dance at the cave, Preston.
Yes.
Like, I would do a strip off, but not to win, but to make people
to
laugh.
Go laugh.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
exactly.
I mean, you know that people sometimes, like with the back boobs, how can you not know that you have an extra set of mammary glands on your back now?
Let me go to Dawn. Hey, Dawn. Good morning.
Good morning, Preston. You guys rock.
Hey, thank you. What's going on, Dawn?
That phenomenon that you guys call the muffin top—that whole piece of skin that goes all the way around—that these girls are completely unaware of.
Right.
My friends and I call the Skinner tube.
The Skinner tube.
It looks like an inner tube made of skin.
Skinner
tube. You're right.
It's perfect. Yeah, a human don't. It looks like the Michelin woman.
We go to Steve next. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning, you guys rock.
Thank you. What's going on, Steve?
That fupa thing. My friends and I actually call that fupa, the fat upper pelvic area.
Fat upper pelvic. I guess in a more PC way, that's the one you want to go with. Yeah.
Right.
When you can't say vagina.
But I like.
But it still can
fupa.
Be fupa.
Fupa.
You're good, fupa.
But I don't think anything can beat the gun.
The gun. I thought that was the term that everybody knew. And speaking about the email that you got, Preston.
Yes.
Don't you have like a mirror or a reflective surface by the door before you leave in the morning? I mean, isn't there like an intervention that should take place? How do some people walk out of the house wearing the clothes that accentuate? You know what I'm talking about, Kathy.
I do,
what?
But it's funny that you said that because that's what my cousin says all the time. Whenever we see something with someone with a Skinner tube, don't they have a mirror in their house? She always says
something.
It.
I don't sit there and languish in front of the mirror going, oh, God, I am blessed. I just want to check that I don't look as hideous as I think I do.
Right.
You know when, like, T.O. would wear the spandex tops and you could see his rippling abs?
Right.
You know, I would look at that and say, man, you know, he looks pretty good in that shirt. I wouldn't say, hey, why don't I try and put one of those on?
No, but you know what he's saying? You see and you go, wow. That would be if I looked like that.
I'd wear that shirt.
But I don't look like that.
Exactly. I'm not going to wear it.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not a magic shirt, okay?
But it's
it's right. It's called magic.
Joseph
punches.
And the Amazing Color Tech. Whatever it is. But it's mainly it's women who I guess they look through the fashion catalogs and they say, wow, this is a great outfit.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear it, not thinking that it will look horrible on them. You know what I mean?
And it's the jeans. They're too tight. Like and you said whoever said it, Preston. The low-rider jeans. That's when it really started to come
that's
out
when it
because
took off, yeah.
That's what's in style. So they're not going to get the jeans that come, you know, halfway up their stomach now.
Well, SNL did a parody of the what they call the mom jeans. That are worn
under
the breast. It's like the equivalent of the old man
jeans that are the torso. Up.
Yeah, where there is that bizarre distension that takes place. But I mean, all you'd have to do is wear something either a little looser.
Yeah,
I mean because Zoftig, you know. Curvy women are wonderful, but you don't wear a T.O. type shirt when you're that carrying a little extra.
Did it actually Nickelodeon? I watched because I have kids and it's on all the time. But a while
do you
back,
watch FUVA?
They had a series of parodies that they did. It was for Nicktoons or whatever, or actually it was Nick at Night. But anyway, they had the incredible Fred Mertz's incredible eating pants because as the series went on I Love Lucy, like his pants would come up higher and higher and higher to where they were literally right under his tits.
That's the old guy thing where you pull them up so far, you know?
Kathy, do you ever watch What Not to Wear? I think it's on TLC.
Oh, I've seen it, yes.
It's a really good show because it takes women that are good looking or just need some fashion help, and they're wearing clothes that show off like the Skinner tube or you know, they show.
Nick is gay.
Steve, you would like
to
show.
No, I know. It is actually a good show, but they're sort of they're sort of correctively brutal about it. Yeah. But I think that they help them by doing that.
It's a huge help.
And what happens is, just by wearing something a little more appropriate, they look a thousand times better.
Yes.
Let me go to...
Than having a gun.
Let me go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Jeff?
You have the swoob, soft white underbelly.
The swoob.
That's good. I like that swoob. Let me go next to Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Good morning.
Hi, you rock.
Thank you. What's up, Michelle?
Now, my husband and I refer to this on men and women because some old men have it too. We call it a bitch pouch.
The bitch pouch.
And this is the same as the
front ass or fuva?
Yes, the extra plaid on the bottom. I don't know what you want to call it.
Because what happens is it starts to crease in the middle and does replicate the butt cheek.
Yep, you're right, the front ass.
The buttocks.
Let me go to...
Lieutenant Dan, you got a fuba.
Let me go to Samantha. Hey, Samantha, good morning.
Samantha!
Hi, how are you?
Great, what's up?
Well, there's some girls in my school who their bras don't fit them very well, much like the lunch lady. And we call it the double bubble.
The double bubble.
Can't you,
if you're well endowed and you're wearing a large up front, and you're wearing a bra that is digging into your back, can't you feel that?
Yes, you can. And you know what I think? A lot of girls with smaller boobs will get a smaller bra, so it pushes them up and makes them, them look like they have cleavage. And I think that girls with bigger boobs try to do that, but what it does is it cuts it off and makes the lunch lady boob.
Let me go to Danielle.
Do that for my penis.
Hi, Danielle. Good morning.
Gadzooks.
What's up, Danielle?
You guys rock. You crack me up every morning.
Oh, thank you. Love you.
I just want to let you know that, Casey, I have heard of the Gunt, capital G, and the first I heard about it, there was a girl out in the Midwest, and just, with her accent and everything, was really funny the way she said it. But I just wanted to let you know that there's a counterpart for the men, and it's called the Guinness.
The Guinness? The Guinness.
Just call it the Gock.
The Gock.
So it definitely goes both ways, you guys.
I like the Gock.
I love it.
Yeah, and you've seen that. You know, it's flat. We used to deal with a guy who was a lot of fun, Flabio.
Here's a
Flabio had he had a Guinness or a gawk or
he had a full on front ass.
A full front ass.
Yeah, and he could lift it up and he could put it up on the bar.
He could defecate out of it.
It was amazing.
It's amazing.
Here's an instant message from High on Ezra. There's also another name for the what did you call the one on the back, Kathy? The boobs on the back.
Back boobs.
It's called a back rack.
Back rack.
I like that. Let me go to. I have Danny. Hey, Danny. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Gadzooks, guys?
Gadzooks. What's up, Danny?
I got one. I think I'll blow them all away. The vajummick.
The vajummick.
We have a winner. A vajummick. Danny, I'm going to give you a case of Bud Light for that. All right. All right. Hang on. Just hang on.
The vajummick.
I love it.
Oh my god. That may be better. Than,
you know what?
Than
we,
the gun.
We need to make a list. Well, we need pictures too. If you have, you can send anonymously. If you know, I mean, you know, assess yourself. We have cleavage corner where you don't see the heads.
Vajummick corner.
Vajummick. Any of these anomalies that you have.
And Nick, can you start a blog on PrestonandSteve.com of the body part names?
Because vajummick.
That is vajummick.
Cock.
That is absolute. That's poetry.
And gunt are my current favorite.
Let me go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's going on, Mike?
Oh, you got to split that case of beer, but Danny stole mine.
Oh, you were vajummick, too?
It says it up there.
Oh, yeah. All right,
the vajummick. All right, I'll give you a case of beer, too, all right?
Yo, listen, there's also the fupa.
The fupa we got and the fuva.
And for the guys, it's the fuda.
Which is front upper dick.
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that. It's a technical medical term. Flatten. Dickus.
Let me go to Alan. Well, Alan already had the muffin top. Let me go to Dave. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, I'm gonna take the gun to the grave with me.
Yes.
I just need the classic.
Feel free to do it. But how about the vajummick, man?
I
mean,
I don't know which one's better.
That's beautiful.
We have one that it's not always such a bad thing. It's for the women that are always perpetually cold. They develop nerfs.
Nerds.
Yeah, which is a nipple erection right through the shirt.
Yeah. You know, that actually is a plus. Who were we talking? Somebody was talking about someone.
Devin.
Is it Devin that always has?
Devin caught me looking at her nerds, and then told her mom.
And her gawk?
Yeah. Told her mom?
Yeah, I was like, dude. And I didn't mean to. It's just listen, that her nerds were at eye level.
Yeah, you might as well put an advertisement there, because, I mean, a guy will look at that automatically.
It's a salesperson that has nerds.
Really?
Yeah. Are they good for the tea?
Yeah, definitely.
Wait, didn't we use
ends with an era?
Yeah. like Tara?
No, those aren't nerds, though.
Yeah, I think they're nerds.
No, they're not. They're the rings. The
piercings.
Yeah,
but they're...
Same thing?
They're nerds as well.
Wasn't there someone we used to work with that had crooked ones?
Oh, yes.
Yes, there was. And
I needed a T-square to get them level again.
Yes, and I remember, is there a name for that?
Well, this person was very abundant, and they were sort of, you know, they were unwieldy. They would go in different directions. Sometimes one would leave for the weekend. one pointed magnetic north, and the other one pointed to Guatemala for some reason.
We used to refer to one larger than the other as Tom and Jerry. Hang on, let me go to Pete. Hi, Pete. Good morning.
Morning, guys. You guys rock.
No! What's going on, Pete?
Back in the day, I used to work at a local theme park, and it was a hot dog stand, and you know, we'd have these behemoth-sized people come up, and for whatever reason, we just came up with this nickname, the Vahina, the area right above.
The Vahina.
Vahina, that just stuck. That was back in 94.
Yeah, well, you know, the technology has changed, and now we have the, what is it, the
vagina.
let me go to, hang on, I have Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning. Mike, are you there? What was his?
His was Vajumic as well.
Oh, that was Vajumic as well. All right, let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show.
Oh, thank you.
What's up, Brian?
We used to use something that was called the snee that goes along with the nerds, because it's the initial reaction, and it's the simultaneous nipple erection.
Yeah.
I guess,
and that's a plus. That's not like a vajumic is not good. Now you could you see and guys and girls who just, you know, maybe if they loosened up the clothing a little bit,
right?
You would not be able to see their gawk.
That's the thing. That's the thing. It's the clothes that make these things stick out.
Hey, there's got to be a term for it. But when a girl gets a wedgie with a skirt. You ever see a girl with a skirt and she gets the wedgie?
Oh, wedged up her ass? It's a rare occurrence.
Yeah, but it usually happens to people who weigh a little bit more.
What was the one you mentioned? The gankle?
Oh, no, the cankle, which is where the calf meets the ankle, and there's no definitive,
breaking point.
No,
it's really bad if you have a gunkle.
Wow.
Let me go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
It's really bad.
Mike, are you
there? What's his trail following?
Hey, good. What's up, man?
I got one. Our guy in our office, he's got a lot of the things you got going on, but there's a phenomenon called the hungry ass.
The hungry ass?
Every woman's got a hungry ass.
Wait,
it looks like he's so big and his butt cheeks are so flabby. It looks like his ass is eating his pants.
I know what you're talking about, man.
I love it. I love
the hungry ass.
Oh, God. But I tell you what, we've had a couple of gems today. I've never heard of the gunt before. Or the gawk.
The gawk.
But the vajumic. I mean, a round of applause for the vajumic. That is absolutely beautiful. We have got to take a break, though. We'll come back in a moment. There we are.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Nick and Sarah in the morning doing the best of Preston and Steve this week. The guys are back on Monday, and we're having fun this morning. Having a good time. Hope you're enjoying listening to some of these older segments and great interviews we've had in the past, and I'm enjoying playing them. So it's going to be hot and muggy again today. Hey, it's July in Philadelphia. What do you expect? But high 92, hot and humid, times of cloud and sun, as we've been saying all morning. Chance for this tropical depression, tropical storm, remnants, whatever, to be rolling in. Tomorrow and over the weekend, so
grab
we'll see
that
what
umbrella. Yes.
Yeah, you're gonna need it tomorrow. But today, just hot and muggy. So that's what's going on our end of things. We do have the Bizarre File coming up, and there's something that I wanted to say, but I can't remember what it was because we were talking about wearing a mask, and I got distracted.
I threw you off. I'm sorry.
You did. You saw a really funny meme, and you passed that along to me.
Yes.
But
sharing is caring.
We continue to wear our masks, and you put up a great photo. That's what I was gonna bring up.
Yes.
A great photo on Instagram, on your Instagram account. And I put it up in my stories, and it's the two of us. It's a nice shot. I enjoyed you posting that.
Yes, wearing our masks, because we do have to be in close proximity here in the studio, but as long as you're washing your hands, you got the mask on, everything's good.
That's all you got to do. Just be smart. Take the precautions you need to take, and we'll all get through this together. So we got one more look at traffic, and Sarah is handling that. It's the NJM Insurance Traffic. Sarah, what is going on the roads?
95 South is heavy from Cottman Avenue to Bridge Street, where the roadway has been reduced to three lanes. Schuylkill westbound is heavy, University Avenue to South Street, and eastbound is slow, Montgomery to Spring Garden. The Vine is heavy, westbound from the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill, and Route 1 South is slow between Rock Hill Drive and PA 132. This traffic report is brought to you by BP. BP and AMCO are supporting local first responders, doctors, nurses, and hospital staff. Learn more at bp.com/thankyouheroes. And that is your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
The B-File, brought to you by HERS, the official chip of making the most of your summer.
The man waved a knife at the hospital staff and threatened to cut out his own tumor after being frustrated at long waiting times. This is out of Australia. Ian James.
Sounds like your dad, Preston.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I'll just cut
that
out.
I'll just do it.
Ian James Boole had been waiting at Brisbane's Queen Elizabeth Hospital for more than 6 hours when he picked up a utility knife and told staff he would perform his own surgery. He said, "I'll effing cut it out and you stitch it up." He was waving the knife towards an anesthetist named Stuart Parker, who had been completing paperwork at a nearby
desk. You don't
think
I'll do it, do you, anesthetist Stuart Parker?
Mr. Bull had previously already asked a nurse for a scalpel so he could remove the benign growth from his forehead.
I assume the nurse didn't give it to him.
That is correct. The court.
Oh, sure. There's a whole tray of them over there.
The court heard Bull had been on the waiting list for 18 months before being called into the hospital on June 28th for the elective surgery.
That's one hell of a system they have over there.
The defense barrister said that his client had sat in the waiting room for several hours wearing nothing but a hospital gown. He was also hungry after fasting since the previous day and had become frustrated that other patients were being seen before him. I can see why this guy's pissed. He said that his client was bipolar and hypermanic and was vulnerable to impulsive acts.
It was just a banner day.
Yeah, he was escorted from the hospital by security after.
I'm on this one in my diary.
And is still waiting to have the growth removed. They still haven't gotten to it yet. That sucks. Three former PTA mothers and their connection with a suburban elementary school to recruit investors in a phony $14 million get rich scheme.
Dang.
Use their connect. They used it. And can I start over again?
Yeah.
He can't see without his glasses.
Three former.
Put his glasses on. Put on his glasses.
You can suck my big, fat, hairy glasses. All right. Three former PTA mothers used their connection with a suburban elementary school to recruit investors in a phony $14 million get-rich scheme.
Oh, man.
He can't see without his glasses. Put his glasses on. Put on his glasses.
We even let you start over.
The alleged Ponzi-style scheme lasted more than 2 years before an irate investor filed a complaint last year, sparking an investigation that led to the arrest Tuesday of three women. The alleged swindle started in 2008 when the women told fellow PTA members that they had exclusive rights to sell products from a well-known local dairy to Disneyland, Disney hotels, and other small retailers.
What a scam.
They said that they needed capital to expand the business and promised returns of up to 100%, adding that even if there was no profit, investors would get their money back. And it was billed as a no way to lose. Investments, which had been made in cash, ranged from $5,000 to $208,000.
Whoa! Dairy products?
Yeah, the 40 investors dipped into their life savings, maxed out their credit cards, and took out second mortgages to come up with the money. Marcellus Barajas, Julian Menifee were arrested on 22 felony counts, and Eva Perez was already behind bars serving nearly 10-year sentence on grand theft charges related to a similar swindle.
They are bad PTA people.
They are. And I guess, you know what, if you give people a good enough pitch and really make them believe it, they'll say, hey, you know, yeah, here's my cash. Go make some money with it. It happens from time to time.
Yeah, look at Kevin Bacon. Yep. Lost all his money to Bernie Madoff.
A tickle spa, believed to be the first of its kind in the entire world, has opened in Spain. The name of the spa, which is Cosquiarte, the name of the spa, which is Cosquiarte, translates to tickle yourself and tickle art.
Uh-huh. Really?
The spa aims to relax and de-stress their clients who, during a session, will lie face down on a table and get tickled by a massage therapist his or her fingers as well as feathers.
Will it be, it won't be tickling to laugh, it'll be tickled to massage, right?
I love that. Or sensual touch. Casey, that's what Lauren does to you whenever she's here.
Really nice.
That's how, Casey, you put your kids to bed, right? They love that, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I love back scratches. In fact, I would much rather go to a massage place and parlor and get a back scratch.
Yeah, I'd rather get a back scratch than a hand job. I see here, hand job, back scratch. I'll take that. I like a regular slow like tickle like on the head and stuff like
on the head
my scalp. It's awesome.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. You've got hair, so it doesn't. You wouldn't.
Yeah,
feel
I guess
it.
Yeah. That would be the same thing. But no, it's like what Lauren does to you. Yeah. It's tickling. Back, it's not scratching. It's just light touch.
Scrickling.
Squickling.
Yeah.
Anyhow, tickling researcher Alan J. Fridland, PhD, says that tickling done right can increase blood flow and release neurotransmitters such as dopamine. So it actually, it's good for you.
Sure it is.
So they're opening that
up. Damn good.
Yeah. Let me see here. These are all people getting killed.
Stick with
hey,
the
man,
tickle
I don't
stories.
Write this stuff.
No, it's just what happens in the world. If it's, do you have a funny person getting killed?
A clown getting
like
killed?
Yeah.
A clown on fire, maybe?
No.
Shot out of a cannon at a brick wall.
That is funny.
Oh, God, that's not funny.
How about this one? A man was fined $500 after he turned in $17,000 but lied about how and where he actually found the cash. Robert Adams was cited.
Who's over there?
For filing a false report with the police department. On the evening of June 6, Adams found a Chase Bank bag full of cash, totaling about $17,000 near a Walgreens ATM. Instead of turning the cash in at that location, he drove to a different area and turned the bag in at a different Chase Bank. He later told police that he found the cash outside a newspaper stand. So he lied about that. After investigators reviewed video surveillance, they discovered Adams found the money in another town, and Adams said that he felt more comfortable turning in the cash to the other location and filing the report with those police in that town. He said, I know now a little better than I knew then. He said, I feel very badly and understand why I should have told the truth. But they ended up fining him $500, even though he turned the money in.
That's wrong.
Kind of dumb, right?
He did the right thing.
Yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the B file for you. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. So stay right there.
Now that we're actually leaving the house more often, WMMR reminds you, you're gonna have to put on some clothes.
People!
And if you gotta get dressed, why not step up your wardrobe game with the coolest threads from the MMR Rock Shop? There's tons of new and throwback MMR designs to choose from that you can't get anywhere else. Look, you can't go out there naked, okay? Seriously, no. So shop the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. All the merch that rocks. And don't forget your pants.
It's Nick and Sarah, 93.3 WMMR. We're doing the best of Preston and Steve, helping you get through a Thursday morning. It's going to be a hot and sticky one out there today, hot and humid with times of cloud and sun, chance of some afternoon thunderstorms, but mostly just sticky out there, 92, like I said. And then rain comes in tomorrow and over the weekend, so we're going to be watching that over the next 24 hours. And wanted to pre-promote the fact that Pierre Pierre Robert is going to have brand new Rolling Stones music a little bit later on this morning.
The world's greatest rock and roll band.
How about that?
So I believe there is a reissue. I don't have the information in front of me, but Pierre is going to give all of that to you of Goat's Head Soup that is happening. So they announced this reissue, and they also released a brand new song. Because why not? It's a pandemic. We got nothing else to do, right?
Might as well listen to some new Stones.
Yeah, and I believe it's up on our website, WMMR.com, if you want to stream it right now. But Pierre will present that to you a little later on.
Very cool. So we'll chat with Pierre in the next half hour or so. But in the meantime, we are finished with traffic. We do want to get to the Hollywood Trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
What's going on, Steve?
Well, after being dumped by Crystal Harris, Hugh Hefner's ex-girlfriend's twins, Carissa and Christina Shannon, have moved back into the Playboy Mansion. Said Hefner, quote, "At this point, it's less about sex and more about helping me to operate the TV remote."
You're naughty.
He's just old. Bristol Palin claiming in her new autobiography that her son Tripp was conceived while she was drunk on wine coolers. Bristol says she decided to reveal this detail now so that Tripp will know that his real dads are Bartles and James.
Oh, my God.
Finally, Malcolm in the Middle star, and this is insane, Frankie Muniz, announcing on his Twitter account that he's planning to run for office. Muniz admits the details are a bit sketchy, but says he's sure he, quote, wants to be one of those dudes on the Supreme Court.
The
what? Hollywood Trash.
All right, Kathy had something she wanted to bring up.
Yes.
Which I'm interested to hear about.
So yesterday, my husband and I ran a 5K for this foundation in Bucks County. And afterwards, we came back to the house. We sat down to have something to eat. And our kitchen table faces a window. And we can look out the window while we're eating. And you can see all the backyards of our neighbors.
Yeah.
And our one neighbor has a small little deck on the back of their house. And so we're looking. We're like, oh, they're having a party. It's, you know, it's nice out to have a party. It's good. And they had
sure. It's a relatively newer neighborhood.
Yeah.
So there's nothing's grown in. So you can have complete visual access to everybody.
Yeah. Nothing's grown in. Nobody has fences yet or anything like that. It's kind of all open. So you can see everybody's backyard. So, you know, we're sitting there and we're eating. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're having a party. They have the, you know, some drinks on the deck. And their grill was out, and they had the sack game out. The kids were playing on the playset out there.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah,
it really sounds like
a great time. I know. So Dennis goes, oh, look, Jen and Alex are over at Dan and Sophia's. Oh, that's nice. Hey, that's Jen and Jesse. Is that Travis? Are all of our neighbors invited to a party and we weren't? We were the only neighbors not there.
The only neighbors in the whole hood that weren't invited to the party.
Everyone was there.
You guys.
And so then it became like a big joke. We're sitting there watching TV and it kind of got not very loud, but we could hear.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, that sounds like they're having a good time over there. Wish we were invited. I'd like to have a drink.
That's funny.
So I don't know. The only thing that I can think of is everybody else has kids.
Doesn't like you.
No. No.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yesterday
was the day of reckoning. We got to throw it. Listen, we can't go on throwing parties and inviting them when we don't like them. So we make our boldest statement today. Throw the party, obviously, in front of them and let them know we don't like them.
Right.
I don't know. I hope not. I'm pretty sure that I have a nice relationship with all my neighbors.
That way you can say it without having to say it. Steve.
And if unless you're a stark raving idiot, you'll realize the message is we don't like you.
Because Kathy, and I know you had told us about this, and we had thought that maybe the theory was the fact that everybody else had kids and so forth, but wouldn't someone say, well, at least come over and say, listen, we're having a party. It's mainly for kids. Everybody's invited. They're all bringing their kids. You guys can come if you'd like to. We don't know if you really enjoy it because it's going to be mainly for the children.
Right.
And they didn't do that, did they?
So I don't know. We are the only family on the block that doesn't have kids. So that's the only thing I can think of. Now, our other neighbor recently had a party.
Thank God they don't have kids. That's our out.
No, but Steve, recently our other neighbor had a party, and it was for their twin daughters. And again, they did invite us.
Kathy,
I think because
twin daughters don't invite them.
No, but I think because they were inviting everyone else because everybody else had kids.
No,
but
it makes sense.
Leave one neighbor out.
Sure,
like
but
I
think at a certain point, this is the thing though that happens. You know, it's a dynamic. Obviously, your dynamic's different because everyone's united against you.
Yeah.
But like sometimes in a neighborhood, there are certain clusters of friends that get together, and certain neighbors do the thing. And like our next door neighbors. We'll have friends over. We don't expect to be invited to every single thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to, get together with another group of people, you know, right. Or we're going to go out to dinner with this cluster. We have a great relationship with all our neighbors, but we're not always all together.
Yeah.
This, to me, seems a clear statement of hatred.
I thought I was in the cluster, Steve.
No, we have groups of families that we mesh well with and others that we just don't really do anything yeah. with. And so we will invite those groups. So if you do feel a little bit guilty because it'll be obvious to your next door neighbors that everybody's over at their house and won't yeah. be able to come over. But we'll do the same thing. We'll drive by and there will be people that we just know,
yeah.
you know, but don't buddy around with. I'm like, no, so-and-sos are having a little get-together uh-huh. today, and they didn't ask us to come over, did they? You know, I mean, it's not that it really bothers
it doesn't, you. Because yeah. you know that, it, and in my case, there's we all socialize at different times, and then we all do a collective.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just don't want to get together with 30 people.
No, you're right. Yeah. Now, listen, we work with somebody. I'm not gonna
unless you're Kathy's neighbor.
I'm not going to say his name, but we work with somebody who, you know, they live in a younger neighborhood, and they hang out with all of their neighbors, but there's the one guy that they don't like. So when they get together,
and it's him, the guy that we work with.
Yeah,
no, but, I'm just kidding. I'll
write down the name of the
guy. I
know
who it is.
But case is it the case where their backyards and the whole area is visible?
Yeah, yeah. What they do is they.
Is that right?
I think they're like garage parties. So, like, you know, they'll basically
party. You're out in the suburbs having a garage party?
Well, you know, what they'll do is they'll kind of, like, hang in somebody's driveway, you know, open the garage and, you know, the keg or the beer or whatever will be inside the garage. But they're the one guy they don't like and they never invite him.
Really?
How do you know?
Yeah.
How did you find that out?
He told me.
Oh, he told
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Not the guy that doesn't get invited, but the guy who doesn't do the inviting.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah. It's not awesome.
And he...
there you go.
But he feels bad because the dude's wife is cool. They just don't like this guy.
Oh, well, my friends live in that neighborhood and are part of that whole group.
So do you, with this group that threw the party, you're friends with them, obviously, right?
I am friends with them, and I'm still friends with them, and I don't know the reason, you know, why they had the party. I really don't care. I just want to give them a hard time on the air. That's why I'm talking about it.
I want to find out. I want them to call our show and to explain this in front of our listeners, why Kathy and Dennis were not invited to the neighborhood party when everyone else in the entire neighborhood.
It is weird, though, isn't it?
Was invited, yes.
But when that happens to you, when you know, just for a little bit, you're like, oh.
It stings just a tiny bit.
Just a little bit. Because
I shouldn't have had sex with his wife.
Did it look like it was a party, like a birthday party?
There were kids. We saw all the neighborhood kids out there. They're the only ones
were
that have
balloons?
There weren't balloons.
Was there face painting? Was there wife swapping?
Right, Kat? No, you're right. If there were no balloons, there wasn't a kids' party.
You were deliberately not invited.
Yeah. Because sometimes you won't.
Do you notice they picked a day you're running a 5K?
She's out of town. I heard she's running a 5K. Her and that husband of hers, I'm sure, is in the Aryan Congress. He's bad, you know. Bad people are evil.
I think she worships
the devil, you can tell.
But if you're having like a kids party, sometimes you feel like you're doing the couple that doesn't have any kids a favor by not inviting them.
Yeah.
And you might even say something to them like, listen, it's a kids party. It's just going to be a bunch of kids.
I love kids parties. I'll be there.
Now, Case, I agree. I agree with that. Because sometimes I just
listen,
don't feel like going to a kids
Kathy
party.
And Dennis, we're having kids over. And you just say, no, you don't like kids and everything.
Oh, yeah, we'll be right there.
Yeah.
Damn, it didn't work.
Son of a bitch. Hang on a second. Let me go to Ed.
We don't have AIDS.
Hey, Ed. Ed, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Ed?
I don't understand why she can't be invited to a kids' party. Like, why can't an adult who don't have kids go to a kids' party?
I'm constantly invited. My wife and I, we don't have kids, and we're invited over
to little
Stevie.
Yeah.
The thing is, my neighbors say they can't see him. And that drives me crazy.
That would just piss me off. Man.
They refuse to recognize my invisible son.
Right.
But, like, I just don't get it. Like, why can't a couple who don't have kids not go to a kids' party? Kathy, they hate you.
There you go.
Now,
what you have to do is you have to make their life hell. Call the cops, do everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wild parties.
Right. Kids arrested.
No. Yeah, when they come into Guppies, you just storm out.
Kath, you should have a party and invite all the neighbors except for whoever's house that was.
Yeah.
No, I would not.
And at this one, have balloons and pony rides and stuff. Yeah,
like,
a moon bounce.
I mean, look, I have a huge family, so we've had parties at our house a ton of times where the neighbors were not invited, but it wasn't like
it was clear it was
just
a family.
One neighbor. Yeah, it was clearly family. It wasn't like I invited all neighbors except for one. I invite all of them.
Now, Case, you live in a cul-de-sac, and those notoriously are easy get-togethers, man. Because everybody just goes outside.
Well, and that's basically that's what happens. You look out the window and you could see.
Oh, so and so's over there.
Okay, you know, let's take the kids
outside.
Out.
Yeah,
and it doesn't turn into we're outside and you're outside. We shouldn't go up and see if these guys went. No, it's like, hey, listen,
you're just outside.
We're outside. If you want to come out, come out. If you don't want to come out, then don't come out.
Here's what you do, and if you're not invited to the party, you go over, get some food, and then leave.
Yeah. No, but I've done like
I'm just grabbing a bite. I'll be out of here in 5 seconds.
And I've done this several times, just accidentally left somebody out. You know, like suppose I'm going to my brother's house for, pizza on Friday night with the kids. Like, it doesn't automatically mean that, oh, well, now I got to call my sister and then my other brother and make
sure. It's annoying.
Yeah.
And also, it's annoying when people take it too much to heart because everyone's had an incident where they've screwed that up.
You know what? It was a few years ago we had a get together at my house for the radio station.
Right.
I wanted to do just the show. I wanted just us, Preston, Steve, Kathy, and Marissa. And then I was like, all right, well, Chuck does a lot with the show, too, so why don't I invite Chuck? Well, you know what? If I invite Chuck, then I'm going to have to invite Bill, because he's in programming.
I don't
want
to invite Bill at all.
And then if I'm going to have to invite Bill, then there's a couple other people. Well, I got to invite Pierre, of course.
And we've been friends with Matt Core for so long.
Yeah, how can I not invite Matt? He might get mad. And then I ended up inviting the entire radio station.
It was
a
huge party.
And interns. And it was fun, but it was. It ended up being a. I had to hire a bartender.
A blast,
it was a huge deal.
You catered it.
I catered it, yeah. I really just wanted to do a get-together with us. Yeah. Can I do just a get-together with us? Is it okay?
If we say it on the air, no one else is invited.
But you do have to invite Chuck.
I think you also need...
See? That's where it
starts. But Chuck is part of the show. Yeah.
See?
I think people need to relax and realize, listen, I'm having to get together with some of just the people on the show. I'm going to do another thing down the road and then everybody. But this is just hanging with the show. But you know what? People, no matter what happens, no matter how you present it, they take that to heart.
Well, it's like
and it's because it's sort of an assessment of how they feel about you.
It's what people go through all the time when they're doing like wedding invites.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
When I was doing wedding invites for my wedding, it was like, oh, I have to invite so
and
so
and Chuck.
But yeah, but I'm
you
like,
didn't even
all right,
know him.
But if I invite this person, I have to invite that person. So what you end up doing is just like eliminating everybody altogether.
Or inviting everybody.
Just
give away tickets on air.
I got lucky because my wife had my wife had just left her company, so she didn't have to invite any work friends. And then she went to a new company, so she didn't know anybody there.
Right, right.
So I got to basically take all of her work invites and I used them for my own invites.
Hold on, is this from Chuck here?
It is.
It says I live with it here. I get lumped in with quote unquote management sometimes and hear about parties after the fact. It hurts. Here, if you invite me, you don't have to invite Bill. Just saying.
But we want Bill there.
And then he writes, Nick was at my wedding, but didn't invite me to his.
Oh, rude.
That's an oversight.
It was?
Well, no.
He just didn't mean anything to you.
Chuck
then.
Is just the lowest on the totem pole.
Right.
No, I would have definitely invited Chuck, but it was the same problem. It was the same conundrum. I invited two people from work, and that was it. And Pierre was one of them, and then another guy was another one. But, that's... you either invite everybody, or you just try to keep it as limited as possible. And I'm sorry, Chuck, 6 years later.
All right, let me... People will hang on to it for that long.
That must be why Chuck says that McElwain thing. That marriage is over.
Let me go to Chris here. Hey, Chris.
He says
how you doing, Chris?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Kathy, I think the party may have been just like a spur of the moment thing. In my neighborhood, we always have the kids out playing, and then the parents decide, hey, let's fire up the grill, let's get some beer, and turn it into a party. If you and Dennis weren't home all day.
Yeah,
it might have been that sort of thing.
That's true. It could have been that. However, the reason why I think that it was not was because there was a bunch of 2-liter bottles of soda out on the deck. Like, who keeps that much soda in their house? Like, it was. It clearly looked like a
suddenly
party.
You're Angela Lansbury here.
No, but like a party setup.
Dusting
the
Doritos for fingerprints. Nah, wait a second. That soda's the carbonation is still intact. This is new soda. Look at the spray pattern of the dip. It clearly goes up the wall. This was blunt force trauma.
It's not that hard to go buy 2-liter bottles also.
She has to call the drug guy we just had in. Yeah. They busted in from Bogota.
Nick, if it was impromptu, I'm just saying, they wouldn't, like, it kind of everybody just, like, came over. They wouldn't have all of this
soda.
People don't just have soda on hand, Nick.
You're right.
You know, especially if they have kids.
You special order that.
Yeah, 2-liter bottles of soda hanging around.
Hang on, let me go to Mike. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Yo, what's going on?
Yeah, man, what's up?
All right, I just want to tell Cal you don't feel too bad. You know, we don't get invited to stuff a lot, and it has nothing to do with my girlfriend. And honestly, it's because I don't think any of them like me.
Well, you know, that's very candid of you.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah, so it's not Dennis' fault, it's yours.
I bet you if he wasn't around, you probably would have got the invite.
Ah, see?
So you think it was Dennis' fault?
Oh, without a doubt.
If it makes you feel better.
I've lived this many, many times.
Mike, are you just a dick or what?
Yeah, I guess that's the lowest.
Well, you're self-aware.
I like that. At least he's assessed it correctly. There you go. Yeah. I don't, you know.
Thanks, man.
And then the bitch of it is a lot of times when you get invited, it's like, I didn't really want to go. Anyway.
Exactly.
You know, but you feel bad if you're left out.
I don't
know.
I kind of like Sunday afternoon parties.
Yeah. But maybe it did erupt spontaneously, and they all spontaneously realized how little they liked you guys, and that was a reason to celebrate.
Would any of you guys...
Isn't it great when they leave the neighborhood?
Would any of you guys just... I might have just walked over.
Hey, you definitely would have.
What's going on, guys?
I don't think so. I think what you do, though...
Guys playing cards.
Here's what I would do. I would go to the absolute edge of my property line and put two lawn chairs there and just sit there and
just
watch.
Sit and stare. Bring your own 2-liter bottles of soda.
Right. Shut up.
Just out in the middle of the grass, two chairs.
Yeah,
we sat across the field.
We went to a neighbor's. We had a get together yesterday, which was fun. We had a good time, but we were on our way over, and my wife, setting this up, had earlier in the week had said, "Oh, the Wassermers have asked if we want to come over on Sunday, you know, around 4:30." I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely, cool. The kids will get together and play stuff like that." So we pull, and they live right down the street.
Right.
I mean, we could walk there, but we pull up, and I see like four or five cars out in front. I'm like, oh, they invited everybody else, too. I just thought it was, you know, just us.
Yeah.
And for like a half second, I was kind of disappointed. But it's all people I love hanging out with, so we ended up having a great time. But I was like, you didn't tell me.
Well, you're right,
they're
though.
They're us over for dinner.
There are different encounters and different get-togethers. Sometimes you just want to... everything doesn't need to be every cluster of friends in your friend collective, you know?
Just leave out me and Dennis.
Yeah. That's the best way to ensure a hit party.
Just leave out one couple.
Just one house. Don't invite.
Let me see here. Let me go to, I have Dennis, a different Dennis online. Hey, Dennis, how you doing?
Bob!
What's going on, Dennis?
Hey, Preston, you got me on. Ah. You're going to have another party. You got to invite me. I'm a listener. I'm part of the show.
That's right.
All right, now I got to start inviting everybody.
Dennis.
Good Lord.
Make sure you bring your own soda.
Whatever. Right.
Anything else, Dennis? I guess
he's listening to the show.
Okay. Let me
see. That's me talking.
Let me go to, I can't read half of these comments. Let me go to Steve here. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Gadzook, guys.
Gadzook, Bob, what's up?
Hey, Kathy.
Yes.
What I think probably happened is that your neighbor's husband probably has the hots for you.
Wow.
No, he doesn't.
And the wife is jealous and makes sure that...
The wife is jealous, yeah.
It would be uncomfortable.
She's probably watching that push-up picture, push-up video from Acme.
She didn't want your her husband fantasizing about you.
Well,
tons of parties like at their house with other neighbors.
How would you rank... I mean, are these friends that you socialize with a lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
So yesterday.
Yes, they all love me. They all love me very much.
No, we all
do. They don't like me.
They hate me.
Wait, so you've been invited to their parties before, just not yesterday.
You said that you walked around when you first got into town and told them not to be put off because you're so beautiful.
Breaking news.
Hold
on a second. I know it'll take you a second to find it, but we do have a little bit of breaking news, we're going to get to right now. Here we go.
Breaking news.
All right, from our news center, let's go to Marissa Magnata. Marissa?
I spoke to your neighbor, Kathy. He's unable to come on the air with us because he is at work, but it's 100% your fault.
Oh! What happened?
He said it was completely an impromptu party. Okay. He said standing orders in the neighborhood are if he's grilling, if there's beers out there, everyone is welcome to come over.
Now, that sounds like a cool neighbor.
Yep.
So everybody just walked over?
Yep. I guess that maybe they were talking back and forth. Maybe somebody popped over and said, oh, you're grilling. Can I come over? He said there are plenty of Coronas, so you should have come over.
Wow. So it was really more you being standoffish and cold to your neighbors.
No, pretty much.
And that you need a formal invitation.
Yeah.
Wait, they don't send a car?
I need a limo pickup for sure.
Well, that sounds like more of a scenario, not the product of a deranged mind.
All and right. I tell you what, the impromptu parties are the best parties.
Yes.
They're the best ones to go to.
Because they're the ones you can sit in your house and be pissed off about.
Well, one of the best get-togethers we had would just happen spontaneously like that. Our neighbors all, and it ended up with one of our neighbors deep-throating a foot-long hot dog.
Oh, my God.
God damn, that was hilarious.
Did he say who brought the soda? I mentioned the 2-liter bottles of soda. He had no idea what I was talking about. Okay. He's like, really? There was a lot of beer, but
this
there
was
soda?
Song.
Yeah.
It was a premeditated
Kathy's part. There with the sniper scope.
Right. Honestly, yeah. How far away was this? How many houses down?
There are two houses down. There's one house in between us.
Okay.
But I can see the soda on the deck.
Oh, my God. That's Diet Sprite.
She's there. She's there. She's
with the binoculars.
Accommodating for the wind. Yeah. All right. Stop breathing.
Sodas. 2-liter bottles of soda.
I do know the Coke was on sale at Acme last week. Maybe they just stocked up. So.
Well, sometimes you throw a soda party if you're lucky enough to be one of those people that comes into a whole bunch of soda.
All right. Well, mystery solved, Kath.
All right.
Should've just gone on over. All right, now on you can.
So next time we're just going over.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Break. Thank you, Mary.
By the way, that'll be the time that it is an invitation party, and you'll be over there for you.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're coming back in a moment. Stay right there.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.